When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Oh my goodness, it's the best show. How about that? Happens every Tuesday night, 9 p.m., and here we are, together, on this Tuesday evening. Who am I? I don't know. I banged my head when I washed ashore. I am not sure who I am. I'm not sure where I am. I'm being told by this guy, seems like a kindly fellow, that my name is apmike.bandcamp.com. That's my name, huh? Wait, no, it's coming back to me. My name is Tom. Not apmike.bandcamp.com, your one-stop shopping for your masses shirts and your AP Mike headshots. No, my name is Tom Sharpling, and I am the host of The Best Show. And tonight, we have an exciting program lined up for you. Tommy Stinson will be in studio. And we also will have, after the theme, which you know, we are going to hear a debut, worldwide debut, of a song by Sweet Spirit, one of my favorite bands, from their new album, Saint Mojo. We're going to hear a song called The Power, but I said we'd hear it after the theme of The Best Show, so let's hear the theme of The Best Show, then we can get to the worldwide debut of Sweet Spirit's new song, The Power, from their upcoming album, Saint Mojo. But right now, I tell you this, and you listen good. It's the best show, and here we are. Five, four, wait, okay? Let's do it.
Jersey, back again. I turn up your speakers and shows.
here it is. Without further ado, I present to you the world premiere of a song by Sweet Spirit called The Power from their upcoming album, Saint Mojo, comes out in April. Let's check it out if we can right now. Check it out together. Let's do it together, huh? How about that? Should we check it out together? Now, if only the stupid thing didn't shift while I was... Here it is, The Power!
I stood up in my robes of silk, and I looked over the heads of the crowd.
Best show here on a Tuesday night here in February of 2017. My name is Tom Sharpling, the host of the best show. And what did we just hear? Two of the best tracks of 2017, in my opinion. We just heard from John Wesley Coleman III. Now, he started 2017 off with a hot album release, Microwave Dreams. What a great album. Holy moly. It's on Super Secret Records, and that song was called Exotic Tambourine. I love this guy. He's in the Golden Boys. One of the best. His new album is pretty awesome. John Wesley Coleman III, you did it again, buddy. Just like Soft Machine said, you did it again. And starting us off, a world premiere from our friends in Sweet Spirit. You know that Sabrina and Andrew, they have two bands. They have Sweet Spirit, and they have A Giant Dog. And they are just in two bands making twice as much great music. It's kind of amazing. And their new album, Saint Mojo, comes out on April 8th, I believe. On, what is it, 9 Mile Records? I think that's it. 9 Mile Records. And they have a Bandcamp up to pre-order it, which I believe is 9milerecords.bandcamp.com. Saint Mojo. And here's something exciting. Sweet Spirit will be playing at the WFMU Performance Space on April 18th, and I will give away two tickets to that show. April 18th. Sweet Spirit live at the WFMU Performance Space in Jersey City, New Jersey. Two tickets I will give away to whoever tweets me at the hashtag is SharplingStinson, because Tommy Stinson will be here tonight on the show. Excited about that, Mike? Right? You didn't bring anything to sign, did you? You didn't have the book around. Yeah. Yeah, you loaned it out. Mike loaned the book out. I'm sure Bob Mayer's doing cartwheels, hearing that. Yeah. Or you get someone to buy a copy. Yeah. Only took the guy 6 years to write the thing. Yeah, but by all means, because the kicker to that is you shoplifted it. Or didn't you? Weren't you bragging about how you shoplifted it? Hold on. April 15th, I'm being told, is the Sweet Spirit show at the WFMU Performance Space. April 15th. Not the previous date, which I had said, which I am disregarding and striking from your memory. April 15th. Do you hear me? It's April 15th. God knows why I said the wrong date on that. Oh, you know why? Because someone told me the wrong date. Not Toddophonic Todd, I'll tell you that. Not him. I tell you. It's April 15th. And I'm going to give away two tickets to whoever tweets me over with the hashtag SharplingStinson, who says something nice to me. Whoever says it gets, not everybody who says something nice gets it. I will pick a winner. And you have to be from this area. I don't want somebody to be, we're not flying you in for the show. Not like, you picked me. I wrote something nice about you. I'm from Australia. Great, now I'm going out in my pocket for two tickets and accommodations. Got to put you up at the hotel where 50 Cent got shot. Yeah, that's in Jersey City, by the way, everyone. Anybody wants to know? You know the one where, you know, 50 Cent brags about how he's walking around with all that lead in him? He got that from in Jersey City. And I also want to say this about Jersey City. Jersey City's art game, I don't want to say graffiti, because it makes it sound like people are doing it without permission. There's so much great art on walls and buildings in Jersey City. It is breathtakingly cool now. Have you noticed that, Mike? There is an enormous David Bowie, the size of an actual building. When you're going toward the Holland Tunnel, you can see it. It is so cool. But there is so much great art all over Jersey City. I tip my hat to whoever is behind that. That is how you make a city super cool. And you did it. You did it. So yeah, so Mike, you were bragging to me, and I don't know if this is you just bragging about a thing you didn't actually do. You're bragging about how you set the fire alarm off at the Barnes & Noble, and then when they all ran over, then you took the book and put it in your jacket. Now, you might have been showing off, making up a being a fabulist. Is that what you call it? Were you making it up? He was. He made it up. See? He made it up. He didn't do that. You bought the book, didn't you? Yes, he bought it. So, he did not set off the fire alarm at Barnes & Noble to create a diversion and then stick the book in his jacket. He bought it just like the rest of us slobs. I didn't buy mine. Bob Mayer sent me one. Look. I had the guy on the show. Like, I'm not supposed to get a freebie on that? I get no freebies on anything. The guy sent me a book. So it was very honored to get it. The phone number, 201-332-3484. What's going on tonight, everybody? We can take some calls. See what's what. Who's good here, Mike? One. Best show.
Hey, Tom. This is Adrian calling from San Marcos, Texas. How are you tonight?
Adrian, I am well. To what do I owe the pleasure
of... All right, I'm
happy to hear that. Okay. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Adrian?
Well, I've been doing some research with some of the historical best shows to the archives, and I wanted to point out how very amazed I was that in early 2005, you made a call out that you needed a evening zoo crew. You needed three people in studio with you, and within an hour, the wingman himself, Pat Byrne, had called up to volunteer his services.
Yeah. That's a very interesting footnote in Best Show history, Adrian. Pat, Best Show producer, one of the three, there's not just three producers of the show. There's Dudio, the dude who built the studio. There's associate producer Mike, AP Mike. There's Pat Byrne. There's, Sparky Pop. There's a couple other people who help out. But
sure, Martine Sellis.
Martine, of course, Martine. Terry T. I get help from so many people with the show. But here's the kicker, man. This Pat Byrne circled the best show. He would call in. He came down on different occasions. He volunteered at WFMU. He was a presence in the what are you doing there?
What am I doing?
Yeah, it's a lot of heavy breathing going on there. What is
Oh,
that?
No, it's not heavy breathing. I'm sorry. I'm sitting outside and it's frogs out by the pond. I'm sorry.
That was not a frog. What kind of frog is that? What is that, a 70-foot-high frog?
I don't know. Let me walk over and see if I can get a louder sound.
Okay, well, that sounds like a frog.
Yeah, those are frogs.
It's that sounds like breathing. That first thing was not a frog, though. That was you hyperventilating.
It's not hyperventilating.
You were making some weird sounds.
I'm actually a lot calmer right now than I ever anticipated to be, as long as I've been listening to your show, Tom.
Good. Good. I'm glad to hear it, Adrian.
You listen to me. Not only that, with Pat wanting to be on your zoo crew,
yeah.
A few weeks later, on Mike's first night, Pat was there in studio with Mike. Three of you in studio together.
Very
That's incredible.
True. Isn't that, you talk about coincidence and kismet.
Yeah, a decade before you have it on your own.
Yeah, the idea that who was in studio for the best show, this is back in the WFMU days, back in, what is this, 2005?
Yes, sir, in 2005, in February of 2005, you had you, AP Mike's first show there as the call screener, and Pat Byrne was there as the joke man for your zoo crew.
Unbelievable. And now here, the decade plus later, we have reformed in our ultimate versions of ourselves.
Yeah, it's very incredible. And on top of that, Tom, just a few months later, Best Show Hall of Famer Purple Shirt said that you should have a show on 24/7. You should have your own studio, your own network. And here we are, Best Show 24/7.
2005 was a very prescient year, apparently, for the Best Show. A lot of predictions coming true, right?
Yeah, I was very surprised, especially it a little bit bittersweet, laughing about you talking about your favorite show, The Apprentice, and what a doof the host of that is.
Yes. Whatever became of that guy?
I don't know. I remember somebody, what was his name? They used to call him Donald Frump.
What I want to know, and look, this is not a political show. I've made it clear. We're keeping politics off the... Well, yeah. Look, I'm talking to the audience now, Adrian.
Sorry.
You've listened to enough episodes of the show. You should know that once in a while I talk to the audience when I'm on with a caller. So, look, well, put that into your stat list. So, look, and I love you for doing these things. I think the world of you, bro. I do. But I'm just... Well, what I'm saying is... Okay. Hold on a second. You gotta be kidding me.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has... Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What? What is it? The email. Yeah, no, I'm reading it. Yeah. Well, Jason has a question here. Do you have so, hey, everybody who is looking forward to Tommy Stinson tonight. Yeah, that's not happening. So, run-a-dun-dun-dun-dun. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yup.
What a disappointment. I'm sorry, Tom. That stinks.
Yeah, sure does, bro. Adrian. Sure does. Sure does. Yeah, that goes. There goes that thing that was not we were contacted about to have that be a part of the show, not anything we were chasing down, but something that... Like, who contacted who on that? Where did that start, Jason? Yeah, I think it did. I was not chasing it down. Yeah, so I've just been told there's a personal emergency, and, yep, which sounds like...
After I emailed asking
what the... Yeah. Yup. I am so close to using language I don't use on this show. If you only knew. I didn't need this tonight. I didn't need it. I didn't need it. I didn't need it. This is not what I needed. I barely dragged myself here because there's stuff not working out for me. I didn't need it. Yes? What? Oh, yeah. No, the frogs are still going. I'm going to let those go for a while. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The frogs are still going. I'm sorry. Would you like me to step inside?
No, no. I want you to keep the frogs going while I keep talking, please.
Okay,
get
you got
it. Get as close to them as you can. Yeah, it's not happening. Not happening. How about that? Yeah. No more rock guests. I agree. I agree, Lisa. No more rock guests. No more rock guests. No more guests. That's it for the history of the show. No more guests. I'm done. I'm done with guests. I didn't, you know, it was the hardest thing for me to come here. I got a lot of stuff going on that's still, now you're building something. It's clear you're building something in the background. That was not a frog.
No, that wasn't a frog. That was me stepping inside and the blinds closing. I'm so sorry.
That's all right, Adrian.
I'm trying to be quiet and letting
Adrian,
you do your thing. I don't want to be in the way. I'm so sorry.
It's all right, buddy. I asked you to focus on the frogs, but you couldn't do it, could you? You couldn't just focus on the frogs. You had to open a screen door. You had to say you opened the screen door. Oh, this is not a good one. This is going to be one for the ages. Not in a good way. Yeah, so, as I was saying, right now there's no sound coming from the call. Now that's just as troubling as anything. Well, now that's the worst part of this whole thing yet. You're acting like a frog, Adrian.
I'm sorry. On that note, I'm going to say goodnight, Tom.
Adrian, God bless
you. Yes, sir.
God bless you, buddy. God bless you. God bless all of you. God bless all of you, every single one of you. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome to the best show.
Hi, this is Graham from Toronto.
You got a question for Tommy Stinson?
No, I was phoning to sort of cheer you up, or try to, anyways.
Okay. What do you want to say?
I think you should forget about these guests. The best shows are when you're there by yourself, I think.
Well, that's your opinion. People like different versions of the show. We do 52 of them a year. Some are going to have guests, some are going to not have guests.
Well, yeah, I know, but
people love the guests. You don't.
Sure, sometimes they're great, but rock guests, forget it.
Okay, rock it. Hear that, Mike? Mike, write this down. Rock guests, forget it. Forget the rock guest.
I'm sorry. No, it's your show.
No. It's all of our show now. Well, you don't like rock. You didn't like Kurt Vile last week, then, is what you're saying.
No, I love
that. Oh, so you like that one, though. Okay. So you like some rock guests.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Well, someone might say that there are 3 hours of the show each week and that there's 52 of them a year. So that adds up to, over 150 hours, and you might not have every one of those 150-something hours is not going to be perfectly fitted to your to what you're looking for from the show.
I'm just trying to say, on behalf of the listeners, I apologize for whoever backed out on you. I know Tommy Stinson.
You want to know what? I appreciate it. I'm sorry I'm being hostile to you.
I appreciate it.
You like the show.
I can't even imagine the frustration you might be going through right now, but your entire audience is behind you 100% now.
You're sweet to say that, and I appreciate it. You know what? I do know that. I'll say this. What's your name again, Junior?
Graham.
Graham, where are you calling from, Graham?
Toronto.
From Toronto. Look, Toronto's one of the best cities for the best show. You guys have been so sweet to us. I appreciate it, Graham. You're a nice guy. Did you come see me and John live when we played there a year ago?
No, and actually about a month after you played there, I called you at Rush, and I got bad company.
You called me at a Rush show?
No, I called you about Rush, and you bad company me. And it was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Look,
so.
Bro, Graham, you know what? I feel the love. I appreciate the love. I am going to take the love. And I thank you for the love.
Power forward, brother. Have a great show.
No, it's going to be a great one. Thanks.
All right, man. Well, okay. See you later.
All right, bye. Best show.
Hey, I just watched Bridge of Spies. I want to know if you want to talk about it.
Didn't watch it. Seems like a snooze.
Yeah, it was weird. It's like Steven Spielberg is, he knows what he's doing and he just goes through the things. I don't know what your take is on him.
What's that?
I don't know your take on Steven Spielberg, but I haven't really been into his stuff recently.
Yeah, I have not been into his stuff too much either. These are my favorite Steven Spielberg movies.
Yeah.
I'm going to name them now. Number one, BFG. Number two, Always. Number three, Peter Hook.
Peter Hook, huh?
It was the movie about the New Order bassist, yes. Do you remember
it? I missed that one.
Do you remember it? It was where the bassist from New Order had that pirate ship.
It was where the guy who later killed himself, you needed to clap your hands to keep him alive. Was that it?
No, that happened. That was a part of this pirate's backstory, that the previous captain of his ship hung himself, and now he had his own pirate ship, and he sailed around the ocean with a fretless bass, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That he would often play with the parts where he'd be like...
My problem is that I think New Order is In Excess. I think those two bands are the same.
You think New Order and In Excess are... First of all, I want to say congratulations on killing what was turning into a good, funny bit I was about to do by...
I'm feeling this one, but go on.
By having to tell everybody your opinion of In Excess versus New Order. I'm glad you stepped in front of... something I was building. That was a great move on your part. I was feeling it too. That's why I was starting to build something. But now you had to play Kurt Loder home game and tell everybody that you can't tell In Excess from New Order, which is A, maybe not something you should be bragging about, and B, completely stepped on me doing a thing with Peter Hook as the captain of a pirate ship. But that's fine. We'll make it. Tell me more about this In Excess New Order dilemma you sort through. So just go off now. The floor is yours now. You took it away from me. Go ahead.
The things I know about New Order are that they had a song that they would leave the stage with, right? Like when they were done playing, they would play that song and then they would leave the stage and that would continue playing. That's what I know about that band. And the thing I know about In Excess is that The Devil Inside is a really good song. So I think you are right to say that you were on a better riff than I am.
Mm-hmm. I would say it was safe to say that also, just based on my credentials, I would say that also.
Because you're like a big music guy.
And I would also say that I've been hosting this show for a long time, and I'm kind of funny, and you can kind of trust that I'm going to go somewhere with things when I'm talking about it. You know what I mean?
You know what? You're right, because when you start, I couldn't quite hear you. Did you say your favorite Steven Spielberg movie was the BFG?
Oh, you want to go back to that now?
Well, I mean, no, I don't want to. This is your show, and I don't want to do anything that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
But I just, was that the first thing you said?
It was, yes.
All right. See, you know what, Tom? I think the problem is I'm just not that smart, and I don't know all these things that you're saying. You know, like, I don't know who Peter Hook is. I know Peter Buck from R.E.M. Can you do anything with that?
Can I do anything on that? Well, what am I? Is this the UCB and you're yelling out suggestions?
No, I'm just thinking, like, what if, like, Michael Stipe were Wendy Darling? That would be something.
Get off my phone. You're the worst, bro. The worst. Best show.
I'll tell you, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I, for one, am glad the one guy didn't show and that guy got to do some stuff, because I want to hear more of that.
You want to hear more of what he was doing where?
Yes.
He would say something, and then I would try to turn it into something, and just when I had turned it into something, he would then blurt out something else that took me off point.
I love it. I think it's a great concept.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I love that sort of pacing for the show.
Yeah.
It shows a real appreciation for what we're trying to do here.
Sure does. He knows what he's doing. I think you should take a back seat and let him drive the show.
Yeah, I should. Maybe Tommy Stinson can come down with him, and the two of them can jam on some.
Hey, speaking of.
Yeah.
I think you might remember me. This is Replacement Steve.
Replacement Steve. What's up?
I was in the studio that one night with the guy. What's his name? Bob Mayer?
That's right. Yes. Bob Mayer, the guy who wrote Trouble Boys. Which,
great book. One of the best.
It was one of the best. And still is.
Still is. Yeah. So is this thing happening? I got my cassette recorder ready.
Mm-hmm.
Is this happening?
It is not happening. I just got word that it is not happening.
Huh.
That there was a personal emergency came up.
Got it.
Which?
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
What do I want to talk
about? Riff a little bit?
Do I want to riff? Sure, let's riff. Let's riff, Replacement Steve.
All right.
What do you want to talk about?
All right. Let's rank the Replacement solo albums.
Okay.
I want to put Bash and Pop at number one. Friday Night is Killing Me, but now I'm a little miffed.
Yeah, you wanted to put that one first.
Yeah.
Then what would be next? Suicane Gratification?
No, I'm gonna put Stereo.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
Horseshoes and Hand Grenades.
I was gonna say that, or 75% Less Fat.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yeah.
What about where are you going to put Homemade Gorilla Mask?
Can't get past the title.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna put The New Old Me, which is of course the Slim Dunlop solo.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna put that 4.
Mm-hmm.
Let's rank.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think we should logically rank Jackie Earl Haley films.
Well, I'm not done ranking these though.
Oh, you're
I'd
not.
Like to put. If we're going to rank Replacement solo stuff, I'd probably put Perfect had an EP called When Squirrels Play Chicken.
I had it.
Mm-hmm. And is Chinese Democracy technically a solo album?
Yes.
Okay. What about Appetite for Democracy 3D?
Yes. Great film.
Yeah, I remember lining up and then the theater manager coming out saying, folks, we just can't fit any more people into the theater. It's a fire hazard in there.
The floor is full.
Yeah.
There's not any more room for anyone to lie down on the floor here.
People were lying down behind the screen.
Right.
Like, he had sold seats behind the screen.
Yes.
So you're watching the movie backwards.
You're hearing it, yeah.
You're hearing...
Oh, and also, that Peter Hook film you were talking about?
Yeah.
It was called Low Slung.
Low Slung, which is how he held his bass.
That's correct, yes.
Who do you think... So he held his bass super low.
Right.
And here's one for you, Replacement Steve.
Yeah.
Peter Hook... Lowest slung guitar. Let's call a bass a guitar. John Dwyer, highest slung from the OCs?
I was going to say either him or anyone else under the age of 30 in a band right now. Oh, burn!
So anyone under 30 in a band, they tend to sling it high.
I think it's a reaction to the Peter Hooks of yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in that movie? That was Jackie Earl Haley, wasn't it?
Was in what movie?
The Peter Hooks of Yesteryear.
The Peter Hooks of Yesteryear. That was the
very
movie,
limited release.
If I'm not mistaken, it was inspired by the Dylan one, where it was all the different people playing the different facets of Dylan.
Right.
It was all these people playing different facets of Peter Hook.
Mm-hmm.
The Peter Hooks of yesteryear.
Hacienda era.
Mm-hmm. Fighting with Bernard Sumner.
That's right.
Them in the studio saying, we can do this. We can make a comeback. We can come all the way back. Right?
That's right, yeah.
We're at number one, boys. That's Peter Hook walking into the studio holding up a record mirror.
You know who played Bez in that movie?
Who played Bez in the Peter Hooks of yesteryear?
Yes, yeah. He had like a little tertiary segment there. It was Benicio del Toro.
He played Bez, the hype man from
Oh, come on, man.
From Happy Mondays.
Yes.
How does it feel to treat me like you do? To cancel on the best show a half hour into the night.
I thought that you were gonna be here.
I thought that you would be here. I thought you were gonna...
I arranged the entire night.
Yeah. How does it feel? Yeah. Oh, but by all means, let's reschedule. Just got an email. Yeah, let's reschedule. Top priority for everyone, by all means, right? Yeah, let's do this twice.
I'm marking it on my calendar right now. It's next week, right?
I'll clear your calendar, Steve.
God knows you don't have anything big next week, right?
Nothing. Not that I know of.
No.
Nothing that's going to blow people away next week.
I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you going to the Newbridge Pop and Rock thing on Saturday?
I'm hoping to.
You got tickets?
I do not.
Ooh.
Is it completely sold out?
It sells out like in a minute. You know that.
So
the
this
last
is
50 years.
So this is going to be like a.
It's the 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at an Appetite for Democracy 3D situation here.
Right. You'll be lucky if you can lay on the macadam behind the auditorium.
Right? Imagine the theater when Appetite for Democracy 3D, when they start playing that. And then they go, not yet, everyone.
Yeah.
This one's called Madagascar from Chinese Democracy. Here's the track listing for the movie. Here's the track listing for the movie Appetite for Democracy. Chinese Democracy.
That's a song?
Yes. That's what that's what it starts off with.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the Jungle.
I know that one.
It's So Easy.
I know that one.
Mr. Brownstone.
I know that one.
Estranged from Use Your Illusion 2.
I've heard the title.
Rocket Queen.
I know that one.
Then, one of Axl Rose's favorite songs to cover.
Oh, please be an interminable rendition of Live and Let Die.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live. You know you did, you know. And that would have probably been Tommy Stinson. You know you did, you know you did, you know you did.
All right, what's next?
And in this ever-changing world in which we live in.
One of the great lines of all time.
And then I wonder if he goes low. Makes you give in and cry. Then This I Love from Chinese Democracy.
Never heard of it.
Then Better from Chinese Democracy.
Never heard
of it. Oh, here's a treat. Here's a fun one for the fans. Motivation. A Tommy Stinson solo number from Village Gorilla Head.
Really?
Is the 10th song in this Guns N' Roses concert film.
Interesting.
Catcher in the Rye, which is a song from Chinese Democracy.
Okay.
Street of Dreams, another Chinese. This is a thing that, what do you do what's the equivalent of buying a t-shirt at a concert movie? Because it's two Chinese Democracy songs, a Tommy Stinson solo song, and then two more Chinese Democracy songs. Like, is that, do you just go buy popcorn at that point? Partway maybe, through a movie?
Yeah, maybe they're selling little bobbleheads? I don't know.
And then, you could be
mine.
Then
please tell me they do the other cover that I love.
There I see a few more covers coming
okay.
here.
Okay.
On this.
Keep going.
Then Sweet Child of Mine, right at the halfway point.
That's only halfway?
Yeah, there's 25 songs. That's song number 14.
That's the encore.
Yeah. I'm sure people thought that when Guns N' Roses broke into Motivation, the Tommy Stinson solo song, that, well, this has to be the end of the movie. Now, they're probably going to play Paradise City, and, but no, it, Sweet Child of Mine, and then a cover.
Okay.
Another cover.
Is it, oh, give me a hint.
I've never heard them cover this one. It is not nearly as overdone as the.
Is it punk?
No.
Is it classic? Is it a classic?
It's classic rock, definitely.
Is it by the Rolling Stones?
It is not. One of the major classic rock bands.
Oh, TSOL.
No, a little more major than that.
Okay. Pink Floyd.
You got it.
Is it?
It is.
Is it, please don't tell me it's like.
What's the dumbest one they could cover?
It's got to be Run Like Hell.
Dumber.
Mother.
More obvious.
One
where you'd be like, why is anyone covering this?
The School Song.
Another Brick in the Wall Part 2.
Yes. School Song, yes.
You got it. The School Song. Ooh, hey, teacher, leave them kids alone. All we are is just another brick in the wall.
I like when you do it low because it sounds like I can picture you holding like a cigar.
I'm holding a pen when I do it. This is the funny thing. I'm singing into a microphone, but I hold a pen in front of my mouth as if I'm holding a microphone. Oh, hey!
I love how it's almost like Curly, too. Like, you sound like Curly from the Three Stooges.
Really?
Yeah, can you incorporate Curly into this?
Into another Brick in the Wall part, into Guns N' Roses doing another Brick in the Wall Part 2?
Yes. Yeah, and it can just be you doing the thing on your head that Curly does. You know?
Okay. So it'd be like, we don't need no education. Bing, minute, bing, minute. We don't need no thought control. Then he'll be like, ooh, hey, you, watch it. Ooh, pain. Ooh, yuck, yuck, yuck. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Okay, so they do that. Then they go into November Rain.
Oh. These songs are all, like, 10 minutes long.
Yeah, this movie must be 4 hours at this point. Then, thankfully, here's a good breather. If you've been enjoying yourself too much with all those hits in a row, here's a song, Objectify, by Bumblefoot.
Now, he's not the guy with the basket on his head, is he?
No, that's Basket Face.
Okay.
Right?
I think so, yes.
Where it smells like fried chicken inside Basket Face's basket.
That's it, yes. Yeah. Bumblefoot is what? He's like a guitar player?
I think he might be.
Okay.
Then they do Don't Cry.
I've heard that title.
Then Civil War, another one.
Okay.
Then two covers back to back.
Jesus. All right. Give me a hint on the first one.
A band.
Classic rock band?
Another major classic rock band.
TSOL.
No, you said TSOL. They do not do any TSOL the entire show.
Okay. We've already heard the Beatles. We've heard Pink Floyd. It's not, is it Highway to Hell?
It's not Highway to Hell. Older band than that.
Bill Haley and the Comets.
No, it's not, although that would be pretty cool. He's just like, oh, I'm just a one-eyed cat peeping in a seafood store.
Right?
Oh, I'm just a one-eyed cat peeking in a seafood store. Right? He's like, shake, rattle, and roll. Although they might have done, why would that be surprising? They did an album of where they did that song, Why Don't Have Much, like, Since I Don't Have You.
What is that?
That's on the Spaghetti Incident.
What's it called, though? What's the song called?
Since I Don't Have You, the old...
By who?
The old doo-wop song.
You're kidding me.
No,
I thought it was all punk songs on that record.
No, they do that song.
Oh, I give up.
Can you believe the idea that Guns N' Roses would do?
Who suggests that? Gotta be him, right?
Yeah, I would guess it would be the insane person.
You don't think Matt Sorum is going, hey guys, we should do this old doo-wop number?
You think Matt Sorum, there's a chance he's saying, look, I know I've suggested it 100 times. Guys, we gotta do Since I Don't Have You. Like, he's telling Axl Rose, you have to do it. I know you're in charge of this thing, and I've watched you fire everyone involved in it, but I'm going back to the mat on this one.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta do Since I Don't Have You. And then finally he's like, fine, let's do it.
Yeah.
I tell you, this bum didn't show up. This bum. He's a...
All right, keep
okay,
going.
Sorry, you're right. So this
one more song, Max, right?
Well, this cover song.
Oh, my God. I didn't guess.
You were
yet,
still trying
I?
To it's, guess.
It's a big band?
Huge band.
Led Zeppelin.
A hair less big, but enormous. Maybe,
Aerosmith.
Bigger than Aerosmith. I might even have been wrong to say this band probably just as big as Led Zeppelin in their own way.
All right, the biggest bands of all time. Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones,
mm-hmm.
The Beatles.
Yeah.
Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix.
Already smaller than this band in terms of actual moving units.
Boston. The Eagles.
No.
That's not funny. That's a fact. That's the number one album of all time. Laugh it up back there.
Yeah, I love it. You're calling him out. You hear that, right. Dudio? Replacement Steve just called you out.
That's right.
The band you named, this band is closest to the Beatles and Rolling Stones. Kept going, though. Still together.
Still together?
Yes.
Oh, I'm embarrassed for myself.
Four members... Two are dead.
Black Sabbath. No, everyone's alive. And, okay. The Who.
Yeah. What Who song does Guns N' Roses cover?
Please don't tell me it's Imminence Front.
No, it's not.
Is it Off It's Hard?
It's not Off It's Hard.
Okay.
No.
Is it, please don't tell me it's Pinball Wizard.
It's not.
Is it, it's got to be Bob O'Reilly, right?
Very close.
It's Won't Get Fooled Again.
No, very close.
My
though.
Wife. Bargain.
Not my wife.
Is it on Who's Next?
I think it is, if I remember correctly. Who's Next?
Song is Over.
No.
It's not. I don't know what else.
Wait, no, there. It was not on that. Yes. It was on Meaty Beaty Big and Bouncy.
Box.
It was on Meaty Beaty Big and Bouncy.
Okay. That's our greatest hits. Like, My Generation, Can't Explain, Any Way, Anyhow.
It's from 1970.
70? Oh, please don't tell me it's Long Live Rock.
No.
Good Lord, what?
Oh, can you tell I got my face down in a pillow?
I can hear it. I can hear how frustrated you are, replacement.
All right,
Steve.
I'm going to remain in this pillow until I guess this. All right, it's 1970.
It's from 1970.
Is it on a regular record?
I don't think so. I think it was a single.
Well, that's what Long Live Rock was.
Yeah, well, Steve, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, it's, oh, I know it. It's...
The Smithereens covered it.
Also. Oh, Behind the Wall of Sleep.
No, that's not a cover.
Oh, William Wilson?
Zen Gorilla also covered it.
Oh.
Rush covered it.
To the audience, I just say I'm mortified that I'm in this position.
It appears in the opening credits of Bill Maher's American documentary film, Religulous.
Oh, I asked Timothy Leary, but he couldn't help me either. They call me the Seeker.
That's right.
Oh, can you do Axl Rose doing it now?
They call me the Seeker. I've been searching low and high. Ooh, I can't get to get what I'm after. Till the day I die. I asked Timothy Leary.
What is? Do that same line till the day I die, and then go into that part of play that funky music, white boy, where he goes till you die.
Wait,
until you die. That part.
Yes.
I've been searching low and high. Ooh, I won't get to get what I'm after. Till the day I die. Till I
die.
Boom, bang, bang, bang. And they were dancing and singing
and moving and moving to the groove.
And just then, somebody with me and God without.
Right?
Yes. All right, what's next?
Another cover.
Oh. It's got to be the only Dylan song I don't like.
Yeah, it's the worst Bob Dylan song that he's made the most money off of any of his songs.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Wall.
Imagine when Bob Dylan hears the Guns N' Roses cover and has to just go, huh.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's really going for it on the vocals.
Or when he runs into Axl Rose and knows that he has made $900,000 on publishing from this guy's terrible version of his song.
Yeah, man. Real good. Thanks, man.
Hey, Bob, it's me, Axl Rose. What's up, man? Bob, how are you? You be Bob Dylan.
I love Bob. That's how he talks, too.
Bob, what's up?
You be Bob Dylan, replacement.
Okay, okay, sorry. Yeah, hey, man.
Just
hey, I like that version of my song that you did.
Oh, thanks. Knocking on Heaven's Door?
More like knocking on Heaven's... I had to censor myself.
In my version, he says something bad about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that he couldn't even get past the moment... To make some reference that it sucked.
Yeah.
So they do that. Then there's four more songs.
No! All right, we haven't heard Welcome to the Jungle yet.
No, we did. Welcome to the Jungle was second.
It was?
Yeah.
It was so long ago, I don't remember.
I know. It was 4.5 hours ago.
There's no more hits left.
There's a couple more hits.
We've heard Sweet Child of Mine. We've heard Welcome to the Jungle. We've heard Mr. Brownstone. We've heard Mrs. Brownstone.
Mm-hmm. They did Mrs. Brownstone. There's an Appetite. There's two more Appetite songs to go.
Oh, my God. The only song on that record I know is November Rain, and we heard that like 3 hours ago.
Well, that was not on Appetite for Destruction.
Oh.
Night Train.
We heard, okay.
And then there's a song from Lies. Remember Lies? There's two.
Oh, Immigrants and F's, yeah.
No, not that one. One in a Million. The one where he was just a character on it.
Yeah.
I was a character.
Well, that's what Steve Bannon is doing.
I'm just a character. I always think of that. It always reminds me of like in Class of 84 when the hoodlum is hanging from the light fixture, and he's saying to the, he's like, teacher, I'm just a kid. And then the teacher tries to help him out, and then the kid like tries to slash him.
Right. Yes.
It's like the kid probably should have waited till the teacher lifted him out of the thing before he tried to slash him.
Yeah, slash him when you're on solid ground.
Yeah, but he was barely hanging on this thing, tried to slash him, and then falls, and then gets hung over the school band playing the 1812 Overture.
I remember that, yeah.
Well, the song is, I guess this must be a little acoustic set they break out, a little mini acoustic set.
Oh, Patience.
Well, Patience is that, but the one before it is like a Guns N' Roses' closest thing to a novelty song.
Oh, My Ding-a-ling.
Not My Ding. It is their My Ding-a-ling.
Is it a known song?
Yes. It's like a dumb, it is what, to the metal community, what My Ding-a-ling would be. It's as dumb as My Ding-a-ling is, but with an aggressive, misogynistic metal streak. A streak that only those metal guys could have.
I might not know this song.
I used to love her, but I had to kill her.
Boo, thumbs down.
Yeah. That is like a metal version of My Ding-a-ling.
It is.
And then they end the show with Paradise City. 25 songs in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I give up.
I know, right? Terrible.
That's not for us, Tom.
It's not for us?
That world. No.
Well, I will say the DVD, it did win Best 3D Music Entertainment Feature at the 2015 International 3D and Advanced Imaging Society Awards.
Which I couldn't get tickets for.
Me neither. I wonder who accepted.
Well, what might that sound like if he went to it and accepted?
I would say, who would probably accept for it would probably be like accepting for Guns N' Roses. Dizzy Reed. Hey, everybody. We did it. I just want to thank everybody. I just want to thank everybody over at, I'm trying to see who the production company is. Like, yeah, okay, here we go. This is what he would say. Dizzy Reed, accepting the thing. I just want to thank everybody over at Interscope. Want to thank Kerry Osmussen for directing job amazing. Barry Summers, some of the best producing we've ever seen on a thing. And I'm going to say, when it comes to awards, these are the ones that matter, you know, Grammys, People's Choice Awards. I could take it or leave them, but you know, the awards you treasure are awards like this one, the Best 3D Music Entertainment Feature. Here at the 2015 International 3D and Advanced Imaging Society Awards. I will not forget this. And on behalf of the band, Axel, Tommy, DJ, Bumblefoot, Richard, Chris, Frank.
Richard.
Richard Fortas.
Okay.
I want to thank, Axel, Tommy Stinson, DJ, Ashba, Ron Bumblefoot Thigh. Ron Bumblefoot Ty, DJ Ashba, the lead guitarist, Richard Fortas, Chris Pittman, Frank Ferrer, Chris Pittman, the other keyboard player.
There's two keyboardists.
Yeah, he also does backing vocals and tambourine.
Okay.
And Frank Ferrer. And of course the dancers, Cassandra Sofer, Settili, Angela Acosta, Lisa Cannon, and Tara McClintock. The aerialists, Alyssa McCraw and Kelly Milladon, and the pole dancers, Ashley Park and Ashley Mace. The pole dancers for this video are both named Ashley.
And that's their B show. That's not even the A show they usually do.
For GNR?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the B show.
Yes.
So that's what it would be like if Dizzy Reed accepted the award for the 2015 International 3D and Advanced Imaging Society Awards, award for Best 3D Music Entertainment Feature.
Well, it's been said a lot, but I do love your impressions.
Thank you, Replacement Steve. I'm going to say goodnight.
Okay,
you.
That's fine, because I've been on the can the whole time, so I'm about done. What?
Horrible.
Okay. All right.
Well, have a great night.
All right, persevere.
Thanks, bro.
All right, namaste.
Right back at you. Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. No show. Mike?
Yeah.
This is what I want you to do. There's pads out there, right? First thing I want you to do. First of all, do you guys want pizza? I don't know. Do you want pizza? Mike, you're good? Pat? Pat, unless I... Nah, okay, no pizza. Yeah, you want chicken? You can get chicken wings, Pat. Wingman. You can get them. Okay? Pat can get chicken wings. Wingman can get chicken wings. Get one pizza pie, please. And wings for Pat, for the wingman. And Mike, what do you want? What do you want, a shrimp parm? No, really, what, you want something to take home, Mike? Bailed on the show. This better be some kind of emergency, I'm telling you. Yeah, sounds like the emergency sounds like I sure don't feel like driving into New Jersey because I have been promoting all day and I don't want to. I didn't want it. I'm not blaming anybody on our team. Don't worry, Dudio. This is not you. This is not anybody out there. You're here, right? Unless you're not here. What, are you going into party with Tommy Stinson? Wait, where'd Dudio go? He's going in. I tell you. I'm deleting the album right now. Where is it? Right off my hard drive. Bash and Pop. Delete it. Right now. Right to the, get it off here. Get it out of it. Scrub the stink of this bad night out of my life. Can you believe it? Get it out of here. Delete the whole thing. Right to my trash can on my computer. Delete from library. Are you sure? Oh, I'm sure. Do you want to move it to the trash or keep it in? No, let's move to trash. Here we go. Oh, there's my trash. Hey, let's empty the trash. Empty trash. Well, you know you can't undo this action. No, I'll empty it. Never. Never. I didn't want it. You guys want this? You want it, then you bail on it. And thanks for the heads up, too. Yeah. 9:30. That's when I find out. Go away. What's that? Dudio was in the street. So you going to order those wings, Pat? Yeah. Yeah, let's order it. Get the wings. Get your wings. Get as many as you want. You're not? Why not? You're the wingman. It's what you do. Mike drinks Coors Light. You eat chicken wings. And by the way, Pat has a show coming up this Saturday. You know Pat does a show over at WFMU. And his show airs every Saturday night, and this Saturday is a live Prove It All Night, which is the name of his show, and it is Saturday, February 25th, the return of a live Prove It All Night, 9 p.m. over at the WFMU Performance Space, and the guests include Vic Ruggiero, Nick Turner, Mo Fry Pasek, Seth Herzog, Caroline Busa, Busa, and then guest DJs, Sunshine in the Rain, one of my favorite bands. We heard the premiere of their song last week. Their great album. This is where all those things are getting premiered. And it's a benefit show for WFMU? Yeah. Cause the marathon's coming up. So this is a benefit show. So go show your support. A lot of great guests. And and Pat is the anchor for the whole thing. You don't have to worry about any of these guests. It's Pat. Pat'll be there. That's worth the money to get in. It's $10 suggested. So don't be a cheapo. Do the $10. This Saturday, February 25th, Prove It All Night with Pat Byrne, live. And, Dudio, you have a thing?
Yeah, I got a show, Monday at UCB Chelsea.
The UCB Chelsea on Monday.
Yeah,
what's that?
Maud Night.
Yeah. Dudio will be there on Monday at UCB Chelsea doing, what are you doing now?
9:30, my, sketch team, Bunt.
His sketch team, Bunt?
Yeah, like Bunt Cake.
Like Bunt Cake, okay.
Bunt.
Okay. So they will be there. So that's Monday at the UCB Chelsea. Anything you want to plug, Mike, other than apmike.bandcamp.com? That's it? Can you believe this no-show, Mike? Yeah. Disappointing to say the least. Big fan, yeah. Not me anymore. Nope, I'm done. Waste my time. What am I saying? Like, I got to do that? Like, I can't do the show without that? A waste of my time. All the planning and everything. Unbelievable. Get lost. You and your dumb band. Get out of here. No one cares. No one cares. Waste my time. How dare you? I'm having a terrible time in this. This is what happens. I want to, if I had a choice, I could have, if I could have pressed a button and not done the show tonight, I would have done that. Cause I'm sorting through some stuff and it's truly not easy. And I was hoping it wouldn't be here with me this week, but it certainly is. And there ain't nothing I could do about it. I'm trying to get past it, trying to move on. And look, it's not health stuff. It's not health stuff, so you just have to take that at a point and say, you know what? Glad it's not health stuff. It's not. It's bad, though. Below that, it's work stuff. Yeah. It's like everything's in the turlet, man. It's all in the turlet. So you ordering that pizza or what? Yeah, plain pizza's fine by me. Yeah. Plain pizza and how many wings you getting? No, you gotta get wings. No, get wings, please. It's your thing. You really don't want wings?
I'm not terribly hungry. I mean, if you want to get wings, just to get wings.
Just get a small order of wings.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Get that smell going.
Yeah. Wing stink. We gotta get that wing stink going. Will you eat wings, Mike? Mike will have some. See, Pat, Mike will have some wings. He'll join you. Wingman will have a wingman. Are they boneless wings? Yeah, don't worry, Mike. They're free. Are they bone? Like, you wouldn't eat them if they were bone. You'd eat them if they had razor blades in them you'd pick around. Yeah, right, Mike?
Oh, these have bones. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, now Andy Kindler wants to know if he should call Bob Odenkirk. No, that's all right. You can hold off on that. Bob Odenkirk called one time. It was a fantastic, very generous. He was on Gary the Squirrel's Breaking Bad recap show, Breaking Nuts. And he was on that. He was on that, and. But he called, he was online at a copy shop or something. I can't even remember what he was doing. I think he was getting something mimeographed or something. Right? Is that what it was? Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Daniel.
Daniel, what's up, Daniel?
How are you doing?
Oh, just amazing.
I caught wind that there may be some things going on with your guests tonight on the internet. I apologize, I haven't been listening to the show up to this point.
So you caught wind that there's something going on with my guest. Well, I don't have a guest.
I know, that's what I heard, and I'm calling to express my apologies and to talk to you about something that I think will make you laugh.
Well, let's find out if it will. Let's find. Wait, do I know this Daniel? I know this Daniel. Okay.
Yeah, Daniel Rolston.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know. Say who it is. Say it's you. You almost got hung up on.
You know, I've never called the show before, so.
It's very interesting.
I didn't want to be presumptive.
Look. You broke the seal on this bad boy. I know who you are now. You're in the clear. Oh. You're in the clear, okay. Daniel. At Daniel Ralston.
Yeah.
And this is a guy, he's like, I did low times with this guy. I know this guy. This guy's a friend of mine. I know who this is. So let's hear the thing I would laugh at. I want to hear what I would laugh at.
I've been thinking about Creedence Clearwater Revival recently because you said something about how John Fogerty said Boynton and Elvis said Burn It.
Yes, Elvis, who actually was from the South, sang Burning, and yeah. John Fogerty, who was from the Bay Area.
Yeah, like sang, El Cerrito, I think?
Yeah, a guy who was basically from Berkeley would sing Boynton.
So, it's been very rainy here in Los Angeles lately.
I heard.
On the radio, I heard the song, Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
And were they playing it because they were just like, well, I guess we're all seeing the rain tonight. It's, how's everybody?
They were leaning into it.
Okay.
And I think that's an amazing song. Like, I will say that overall, the end result is great. But there is a moment at the 2-minute and 6-second mark in that song that when it came on the radio made me laugh out loud.
In Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
Yes, and I would just say that if you immediately replayed that moment, it would make you laugh, too.
Let me see here. I can type this in because I know it's not Bash and Pop. I deleted that off my computer. Let's see.
Yeah, that's probably...
It's gone forever.
Uh-huh.
I think I spelled Credence wrong. It's not with a K. It's with a C. Hold on.
That's a very different band.
Yes. Do you think anybody who's ever seen... Creed, and they were just like, somebody's like, if they're just like, this is Creed, it's Clearwater, and so he's like, wait, read the whole thing. He's like, nah, I know what it is. It's Creed, it's like they're just in a rush, and they're just like, yeah, I know these kids. It's Proud Mary. Don't worry. Let's go. This is what we're going to see tonight. And it's like, no, this it really is not that. I'm telling you. Keep reading. It stops after the letter D. Nah, it's Creed, it's Clearwater Revival. Please. Yeah. Like there's a band that's going to be called Creed.
Yeah.
And then they go see it, and then it's like, wait a minute. This isn't what I thought it was. This is... Now, let's see here. I'm trying to find it. I have it on here somewhere. Have you ever seen The Rain? From the hit album Pendulum. Not Pendulum.
Uh-huh.
From the album...
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the greatest bass lines in this song.
Let's see. The greatest bass line ever, everybody knows, is obviously the Fat Albert theme.
Seinfeld?
Secondly is Seinfeld. Third is maybe this song. Let's see. So the two minute and 6 second mark will make me laugh.
I know that's a lot of time to get through, but it's a great song.
Well, I'm going to jump ahead in it, though, too.
Okay.
I can't sit here and stare at it for 2 minutes.
That's not bad radio.
Here we go. Hold on. I'm playing it. You can't hear it, but I can.
Okay.
Wait, that scream?
Yes. At the 2 hours. Okay. If you listen to Before the Scream, Into the Scream, that scream seems like a weird choice for a guy from California.
Look, it's a weird choice. That's a weird choice for anything. to scream.
I know. For some reason, when I heard it on the radio, it made me laugh out loud.
The song is 2 minutes and 40 seconds long, and he's screaming 2 minutes into it.
Yeah. It's very strange. I just thought that would make you laugh.
You know what? I'm going to say this. It didn't make me laugh. I see why it's funny. I'm a bad laugher. Everybody knows I'm a bad laugher. Why?
Yeah.
This show. It killed my ability to laugh. This show killed it so I don't laugh on mic like a goon every time I want to laugh at something. Nobody wants to hear somebody going, nobody wants to hear that. So this show slowly throttled the laugh from my heart. All for you, little monsters. Wait, no, that's taken already, right?
Yeah, that's been used. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't call you dimwits. Who says dim? No, what's his face? Zooks says, what's up, dummies, or whatever, on how did this get made. Isn't that what he calls the audience, right? And then Mike Wilbon calls the audience, see you tomorrow, knuckleheads. He calls them knuckleheads at the end of Pardon the Interruption. What can I do? What can be an insult? And Lady Gaga calls her fans little monsters. Friends, I can't. What do I call you? Dip S's? Is that a thing I can say? All right, we'll be back next week. Dip S's.
It should definitely have a curse word in it. That just turns over a new leaf.
Yeah, but if I don't curse, is it funny to just call the audience dip S's? Hey, guys.
I don't know. You might just have to go all in.
We'll be back next week. See you next Tuesday, dip S's. Mike loves that.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be over at
Tuesday is nice, too.
Yeah. It's going to be over at apmike.bandcamp.com. They probably have shirts up there now. Say, see you next week, dip S's.
Because
he's like the – Mike at this point is like the parking lot of a concert now. apmike.bandcamp.com is like the parking lot.
Well, Tom, if I may, I think somebody needs to make the heavy metal parking lot about Mike and his crew.
About Mike and – that would be – yeah. Mike and his crew hanging out with the Duane Reade parking lot. Instead of heavy metal park, because they did heavy metal parking lot, they did Neil Diamond parking lot, Harry Potter parking lot. For Mike, it would be,
Blu-rays.
For Mike, it would be Duane Reade. It would be Duane Reade bootleg DVD parking lot.
Yeah.
And ironically, it would be half of the people from heavy metal parking lot would also be in it. Like that guy in the zebra stripe. Yeah, that guy in the zebra stripe shirt's probably still in the parking lot being like, you got Split, man? I'm looking for a copy of Split.
He's got a different camera crew on Himbo.
Who does?
They're making the guy from Heavy Metal Parking Lot. So they're both making their own documentary.
Everybody's making their own parking lot themed movie. And yeah, then that's when you just hope for the rain to come and wash it all away to bring it back to John Fogerty. You hope for just
the original.
Like
that. Yeah, well, not to bring it back, but I think if like the Gregory Brothers or something made a remix of that scream and Have You Ever Seen the Rain, it would make you laugh out loud.
Look, the gauntlet's thrown down. I know that Andrew's out there, Andrew Gregory from the Gregory Brothers. See, the gauntlet has been thrown. Make something out of that scream at the 206 mark, and Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
And look, I love John Fogerty and think the song is amazing, so I want to say that. But also, sometimes he does veer a little bit corny, like when he plays that baseball bat guitar.
Yeah, no, that I would say you're being very kind by saying he veers a little bit corny. That's the corniest thing anyone has ever done is go on stage and play a guitar shaped like a baseball bat. That is, you're being so polite to say he veered. Like,
I'm actually getting like hot panic thinking about him holding that baseball bat guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, just like it makes me uncomfortable to think of him swinging it and hitting a ball with it and it breaking and like guitar strings snapping everywhere.
And the guy who built it is like, I spent 3 years on that.
Yeah. Those guitars are not easy to build because it's as narrow as a baseball bat. Do you know how hard that is to make the frets work on that thing?
You know what would be a cool band? A guy who played the baseball bat and a guy who played a Chapman stick.
Like, so if it would be like if John Fogerty was jamming with Tony Levin from a lot of different bands, Adrian Blues Band or King Crimson Mark III, of course, not Mark.
That makes sense, yeah.
Like if he played with Adrian Blue was also in King Crimson Mark III. Actually, he's not in Mark III, I think he's in Mark IV. I think Mark III was the traditional, the trio that did Red and Lark's Tongues and Aspic. Lark's Tongues and Aspic was also the guy David Cross, not the same David Cross, percussionist David Cross was a part of that. Look, I'm going down a rabbit hole here.
I'm going to ask you a base level prog question.
Okay.
Does Tony Levin play? Are those just drumsticks that he tapes to his fingers when he plays the stick bass?
I don't think they're drumsticks. I think they're probably Chapman stick.
They're special
sticks.
Drum fingers bass fingers.
You know, Tony Levin's bass fingers. sounds like something you'd get on the boardwalk. Like, except then it would be bass. It would be like fish. It would be Tony Levin's bass fingers. It would be like fish sticks. But they're all just like the length of his fingers.
And nobody knows how you actually say it, whether it's bass or bass. It's like, well, he plays bass, but it's fish.
Yeah. And then he's standing behind the counter and nobody wants to embarrass himself. So they just go, I'll get six. I'll just get six of them with the tartar sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, six
of
what?
The Chapman sticks. They're fish sticks. The Chapman sticks.
Well, that, if anybody from the Chapman Corporation is listening, I think you just cracked their thing wide open, Daniel.
Yeah. Well, that was my goal with all of them.
Well, you, mission accomplished, just like on the deck of that battle cruiser. Mission accomplished. You can hang the banner behind yourself.
That was a cool banner.
Was a cool banner. It did not at all look CGI'd or, yeah.
Was he wearing a flight suit?
I think he landed on the thing in a flight suit, George W. Bush. Like, he landed and did like a roll. He did like a roll on the deck.
He did not do a roll.
He did. He did he covered like 35 feet of just somersaults.
Wow.
And then went into actual oversized bowling pins.
And those were soldiers?
No, they were actual over. It was like novelty, like.
Oh, okay. I thought kids. They were like human bowling pins.
No, that would be like at the starting five of a basketball, like an NBA game, where one guy pretends to be a bowling ball and the other four pretend to be bowling pins and get knocked over. It was not that. They were actual oversized bowling pins, like from.
And then they just rolled into the ocean.
No, they rolled on the deck. It's a huge ship. And they need to use them more than once. They can't just, look, the military has a lot of money. They don't have that much to where they can just order the bowling pins, the oversized bowling pins, and have them fall into the ocean.
Well, you gotta figure the bowling pin budget's going up now.
That's a good thing to be in if you're, I don't know if there's a stock for that. But bowling, if you can get on that oversized bowling pin, you can invest in that. It looks, I would say, bye, bye, bye.
Yeah. To quote, not a silver lining, but.
Yeah. No. Daniel Ralston, at Daniel Ralston. DanielRalston.com.
It was good talking with you, Tom.
It was great talking to you. Call again. You did it.
I will. Have a great rest of your night, okay?
Thank you. You too. I'll talk to you later, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Matt in Hampton Roads.
Who's this now?
Matt in Hampton Roads, Virginia.
Okay, Matt in Hampton Roads, Virginia. What's up in Hampton Roads?
Well, I was going to tell a story, an infuriating story about being stood up by someone who had put themselves forward as a professional, but I actually had a more simple music question for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, my question is, what is the best record that a band put out after seemingly just completely going off into the ditch. Because, I mean, for example, my favorite in this category is Misfits by the Kinks. They sort of swerved off, you know, did the rock opera thing for a few years, and it was terrible. Then Misfits is wonderful. And, you know, the Rolling Stones have some girls, but I was just wondering what your thought on the subject was.
Because they kind of pulled it back together. You mean after you? So you're not a fan of Preservation Act?
No, 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 no.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, wise guy. Preservation Act Part 2, not so hot. Preservation Act Part 1, that's a great, some great songs on that.
I'll revisit it, definitely.
Yeah, you should. I'm telling you. Preservation Act Part 1, there's some classics on that one. I'm telling you.
Kind of shotgun them during a day and maybe sort of gave short shrift.
Yeah. It's the song Sweet Lady Genevieve is one of his all-time best songs.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
One of the survivors. Here comes Flash. How can you put that down?
I'm chasing.
See, the audience can hear this.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's a great song. You know, it's also another good one is Daylight.
Yeah, I'm vaguely remembering. I'm trying to, you know, putting my headphone up to my ear and not hearing anything on the other ear, and it's kind of disheartening, so I'm just going to take the word for how good the songs are, and I'll check them out later.
All right, you do that, bro. Get off my phone. Guy's wrong on that, man. Sweet Lady Genevieve is one of the all-time best Kinks songs. You know this song, Mike? Right, Mike? That's like a classic song, right? I'm sure they did. He might have ripped it off. He might have borrowed from himself. Well, one of the survivors? Guy puts down Preservation Act 1.
Johnny Thunder sitting on his motorbike, riding along the highway. Rock and roll songs from the 1950s, buzzing around in his brain. But Johnny Thunder, he's one of the original.
Come on. What's wrong with that? Right? And Morning Song? Oh, that guy, you guys, you don't know what he's talking about. Preservation Act 1. Well, maybe Morning Song's not so hot. But you know what song sums up my life right now? The life of me? The Sisyphus of New Jersey? Sharpling's Fist? Did you order the wings? Boneless. Oh, yeah. Put your tuxedo on, Mike. Hi, Pat. What's up?
The pizza place canceled on us.
The pizza place canceled. Oh, personal emergency for the pizza place? I tell you, I better read about this personal emergency in the newspaper tomorrow. No, look. Personal emergency. Look, I hope everything's fine. Hope everything's fine. I'm not going to say anything bad. I hope everything's fine. Got a feeling it ain't, man. Got a feeling I got skunked. Sick. Unforgivable. If this ain't an actual, you know, like I'm just doing this, like I'm just doing this for S's and giggles, right? Like, I'm just here to do, like, I'm going to book somebody just because I think it's funny. Like, it would be, hey, maybe do anything possibly. If he wants to come, he can come. If he doesn't, then he doesn't. Who cares? Go away. No one wants what you're selling now anyway. You couldn't pay me to have that guy back in here. And look, I hope it's nothing serious. I'm sure it's not. This is what rock people do. But yeah. It's all falling down for old Sharpling's fist. Rolling the boulder. Oh, here it comes back down the hill again. What's that? Sissa what? I can't understand you. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Nah, that's, yeah, I'll stick with. I'll tell you. Try. Thought I had it. Worked for years to get one thing. It's gone. It's gone. It's all gone. I had it. Now I don't have it. Boulder rolls back down, man. All I got's this show right now. That's all I got. I got nothing. What's that? Oh, this show's not nothing. But it's not what I thought I had or what I did have. I need more than this, Mike. But here we go. Back down at the bottom of the hill. Back down at the bottom of the hill. Back down at the bottom of the hill. Stuck.
Standing in the middle of nowhere, wondering how to begin. Lost between tomorrow and yesterday, between now and then. And now we're back.
Yup. Best show.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
This is Dan in Delaware.
What's up, Dan?
Sorry you're having a rough night, Tom, but I know you probably don't want to be cheered up or anything, but you know how many of us out here really appreciate what you do. You know that, right?
Yeah, no, I know. I appreciate it, too. I'm just, look, you know what it is? I don't have my day job anymore. I don't work on that show Divorce I was working on. I don't work on it anymore.
All right. Well, yeah, that's, you don't have to share any more than you want to. But anyway, I know I speak for the entire FOT community saying that we appreciate what you're doing here. So yeah. I know it's easy to get down and look, people don't want to be cheered up, but look, we appreciate it.
Don't want to. I want to. Fix me. Fix me. Well, you can't.
I don't think it's hyperbolic to say that over the years of what you've done, you've saved lives. I don't think that's hyperbolic to say that.
I don't think so either. I appreciate that. You should see, I get emails from people.
But that's the other stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, it ain't carrying, that ain't going to put food on the table, bro.
Well, it's a phase. I have little kids, and when things get tough, I try to remind myself that, you know, the way they're acting now isn't going to be forever. Just try to think of it as a phase, and something else is going to come up around the bend, right?
Yeah, I'll think of it as that no one's paying me phase. That
and hopefully that
those
phase
paychecks
is the other stuff
that I used to get don't show up at my house anymore phase, right?
We all go through tough phases, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I wanted to ask you if you had seen this show that's going to be premiering next week on True TV, and this isn't a joke, so.
What's it, Chris Webber's Full Court Pranks?
Yeah, I wasn't listening to the first hour. Did somebody already call in about
it? No, but it's all I can think about.
So my question is, though, because I was watching TV the other night, and, you know, I feel like it was a 15-second spot. It was so quick. Maybe it was a 30-second ad.
They're clearly not showing us what this show is actually going to be like. And it's driving me up the wall. It's driving me. You listen, I'm talking about Impractical Jokers watching it, and then they tease Chris Webber's prank MVP thing. Chris Webber's full court pranks. They don't show you what it is on the commercials. It's just Chris Webber going, hey, we got some real pranks coming up for you. What? Who's getting pranked?
Who's getting pranked? There's no promotional material online anywhere.
Who? I want to see Tyrone Hill get pranked.
So did you see the blurb? Like, they sent out a press release, and it's on, like, three websites on a Google search. Have you read this?
No.
Can I read it to you?
Sure, you can. Read it.
On Monday, February 27th at 10 p.m., True TV debuts Chris Webber's Full Court Pranks, the new hidden camera series that features some of the nation's biggest athletes and sports celebrities. Let's focus on that, biggest athletes. We'll skip down a little bit. Monday, February 27th, preview of the first episode. When you think of big athlete, tell me if this rings a bell. Nick Swisher versus Suzanne the Fan. That's their first episode. Was this show made in 2013?
Oh, look. Maybe it's a little, maybe the might be some thin soup over in away when it comes to getting athletes to do pranks.
Hosted by Webber, the series' first season will welcome special guest Rick Fox. I guess he doesn't have that entourage money coming in anymore.
What are you, Matthew Solar Zeitz? Get off my phone. Right? That guy. If I see another Matthew Solar Zeitz review. Good. Right? Yeah, guy's writing a Matthew Solar Zeitz essay. That guy. I mean, I'm watching, what you call it, the Harold and Maude. I open it up, there's an essay from Matthew Solar Zeitz in it. Look, I hung up on that guy. You're right. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate the kindness. I can't take it tonight. Yeah, I ain't got my job no more. So that's what's been hanging over the kid's head. You want to know? That's what it is. I'll say it. Best show.
Hey, Tom. This is Coop.
It's Coop. How are you, Coop?
I'm just fine. I'm going to turn up my phone a little bit so I can actually hear you. I was just calling in to share my own story of being disappointed with Tommy Stinson.
All right. This, please. Go. Well, what happened with you and Tommy Stinson?
Well, you know, it was so long ago that I had totally forgotten about it until tonight's events. But I actually went and looked on his Wikipedia page just to confirm the timeline of this. But about 1998, I got a call from a, you know, some record industry type dude. And he said, oh, hey, you're Coop, right? You know, because that was when I was doing, like, rock posters and stuff like that. And he says, yeah, you know, I'm working on this project with Tommy Stinson. You know, we're really interested in having you involved in this. He's starting a new band. And now this is where it gets weird, because I definitely remember that one of the people in the band was an original Guns N' Roses member, but I went and looked on his Wikipedia page, and so, you know, there was Bash and Pop, and then he did another band called Perfect that I think they did like one EP and then broke up. Mm-hmm. But this was after that. This is like, because what happened was, so the guy's like, hey, can we bring the band over to meet you? I'm like, yeah, sure, that's cool. Mm-hmm. So they all come over to my house. Okay, so here's Tommy Stinson in my house with all these, you know, other
got closer
heroes
than I did.
So and they're all really cool, and they're talking about, oh yeah, you know, we want you to like do the album cover and do our logo and all this stuff, and I'm in the back of my head adding up all the money I'm going to make off of this.
Yeah,
because I think it was like Warner Brothers. It was a major label. And so I'm, you know, they leave and I'm like, okay, that's cool, man. I'm ready to go. Let's do it. And, you know, a week goes by and I don't hear from them. And a couple of weeks go by, I don't hear from them. And I'm like, well, that's weird. They were all hot and bothered to get going on this.
Yeah.
And then, I was probably saw it on like MTV or something. This is when they still did music stuff on MTV. They're like, oh, Tommy Stinson has joined Guns N' Roses. I was like, oh, well, I guess there goes that money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he, yeah. Yeah.
So I think there's maybe a tradition of this in his career.
Yeah, well, maybe, I don't know, what did he join tonight? Skid Row? Is that why he couldn't make it here? Right?
I think Cinderella, maybe.
Yeah, he's probably in Cinderella tonight, him and Tom Kiefer. They get Eddie Trunk and do cartwheels now. Oh, I'm in such a bad mood.
My heart goes out to you, man.
Yeah, well.
It's such a drag.
Thanks, buddy.
I think that you're carrying on in fine form, regardless.
Yeah, it's a waste of my time.
Playing some very underappreciated kink songs.
Yeah, well, it's a waste of my time. It's a big waste of my time and everybody else's time. The hoops we had to jump through to try to make this thing come together.
Yeah,
they're calling over and over. They called over and over to can you do it? Can you do the show? Can you do it? Not my fault. His album's flopping. You're in a panic now because nobody buy his dumb album. Yeah, you want a copy? Go to the recycling center. You get one 6 months from now.
Do they still have cutout bins anymore? I don't think they do.
Yeah, they don't have cutout bins. This is that album is you call a table balancer. His new album, right? Right. You balance that uneven table.
That's the one when you order a record from somebody on Discogs and they put the two crappy records on either side of it to just pack it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
That's like one of the records on the packing.
Yeah, it's the Brewster's Millions philosophy of album distribution.
Yes.
When you're at zero, when you got rid of all of them, then you succeeded. All right, Coop. Thank you. I appreciate your story.
All right.
Bye. Oh, best show.
Hello, Thomas.
Oh, you're on thin ice. What's your name?
My name is Brett. I'm in Denver. How are you today, Tom?
Brett, do I know this Brett?
We've met briefly, but let's not call it like any sort of familiarity.
Are you a radio guy?
Well, you never know, right?
Well, Tom, it's a yes or no question, Brett.
I have been a radio guy in the past. I am no longer.
Is your last name start with an S?
It does.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. That's all I want to know. Right, what are you on the run? What are you on the lam? You can't. It's okay, Brett.
You never know.
Don't worry,
right?
Brett.
You never
know. What's going on, Brett? What's going on?
I just wanted to take a quick, brief moment.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about disappointment tonight, unfortunately.
Sure,
recently I went to, AD, dot, dot, something, Bandcamp.
apmike.bandcamp.com?
That's correct. Yep, I apologize.
Oh, you're not going to badmouth Mike, are you?
No, but, you know, I'm a big fan. I mean, he's like, outside of you, he's my biggest, I enjoy his participation in the show.
Sure, me too.
And of course, everyone does.
Yeah, so I'm not
to get a signed headshot, of course.
So you want to get a signed headshot from Mike. And look, I've never heard a single complaint with Mike in these headshots. I've heard nothing but people be happy with him. Why? What happened, Brett?
Well, the problem was, I open up my mail. I see the nice manila, envelope sitting there.
Yeah, what's it, smashed?
And it was like, it was the one and only he didn't actually sign. It's an unsigned headshot.
Well, this is unacceptable.
Not unacceptable.
Get in here!
Here's the real. Okay.
You sit down.
And I don't want to bring it up.
That mic placed where the guitar mic would have gone for Tommy Stinson. Move that mic. The one that's aimed lower like that.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to mic your belly button, Mike. That was for Tommy Stinson's guitar, so we could get all those great guitar tones. All right, now you're on with this guy. This guy's name is Brett.
Hey, Mike. Yeah. This is Brett from Denver. Nice to meet you, Mike. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a disappointment of, opening it up and, you know, seeing that the headshot wasn't signed. I mean, things slip through, right? People don't show up for things, yada, yada. My whole thing was, it wasn't for me. It was for my niece, who's a huge fan.
What was your niece's name?
What was my niece's name?
Yeah.
Sarah.
Sarah, okay.
Yep.
When did you order the headshot?
Oh, I ordered it, I don't know. It was right after that time when you and Tom hung up on me.
I don't recall that.
Oh, it was crazy. It was, I don't know.
Are you trying to get hung up on, or are you trying to, like, sort of actually prompt me?
Am I trying to what?
You get it.
Oh, I get what? I'm just trying to get my head shot.
I knew this was a crank.
It was more of like a, you know, the signature, you know, that I was looking for. I don't know. Maybe if you, like, you wrote it in, like, black Sharpie on top of, you know, your backdrop or something. I mean, I can't see it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get off my phone.
Yeah.
I think he was
trying to rile me up.
Yeah. He's trying to get to you.
I've never sent one out without signing it.
What do you think?
No.
Look.
I sign it. I put the Best Show sticker in there.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the envelope. It's a whole system I got.
Yeah. It's a whole system.
Yeah.
You think this guy, and look, and I'm going to say this. You don't think Mike can figure out how to sign these things? It's like, let's give him some credit.
Yeah.
Look, we don't give him a lot of credit for a lot of things. We tease him a little bit here. But I think we can spot him, the idea that if you order one, he can write your name on it. That guy was weird.
That's
the time you hung up on me.
He was, yeah.
That's the last when you hung up on me.
He was trying to get me riled up.
And he's trying to get me to hang up on him, get his jollies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird. He's like, what's he? He's like the human carpet. Giorgio.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
There was something going on there.
Yeah, well, I have him on the show next. Uh-huh. Giorgio the human carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Get him on. He'll be more chance of him showing. More people will buy his new album, Giorgio. A bummer. Look, I hope everything's well with him. I don't wish him any ill will. I sure wish somebody would have told me before the show started.
Yeah.
You didn't find out about this till 9:30.
It's what they call common courtesy.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Yeah. Common courtesy. All I was asking for. I'm trying to do a show here. Keep it professional. You just let me know. He's not going to, as soon as you know, he's not going to make it. And you certainly knew before 9:30 because you had to be in that car before that because he had to be here at 9. Get out. Best show.
Tom, it's Jake Fugelnest.
Oh, it's Jake Fugelnest. I'm worried about people. I've got to worry about the people who didn't show up. Now I'm worried about the people who are showing up. I'm kidding. I love you. It's Jake Fugelnest, the star of the Fugelnest Files.
It's just a lack of respect tonight, Tom. Lack of respect that Lorne Michaels got when the Replacements did SNL and trashed the place.
I'm pro Lorne.
Toilet talk.
Yeah, I'm pro Lorne now all of a sudden.
Yeah, like you and Lorne have something to talk about. And it's a shame because you didn't get a chance to sit down and talk with the guy who played bass on the rock remix of Puff Daddy's It's All About the Benjamins.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, and let me say this. The thing is trending, by the way. Sharpling Stinson is trending. Of course it's trending. That's a trend. The bad thing. My mom, it would be like if I was Kelsey Grammer and I'm just like, oh, look, I'm trending here. And it's like, it's the 90 after he fell. If that was the looks that he's finally trending on Twitter. Where is it at, Dudio? How high? Four. It's fourth in the U.S. now. trending Sharpling Stinson. And look, I hope everything's fine for this guy. God bless him. I hope it's all.
Yeah.
I hope there's nothing wrong and he's fine and everything works out. It's not an actual emergency, but man, I tell you,
Not this week.
Yeah, how about not this week? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. How about it? How about it, Jake? Now, what's going on with you? What's going out there in Lipstick City?
Lipstick City, nothing. I'm home. I'm listening. Can I tell you something? I haven't been able to listen to the show live in a while. I'm listening to the show live. It's my greatest joy.
Well.
I saw John Daly recently.
That's nice.
We were talking, and he was just like, did you hear the most coked up performances of all time? And I had to stop him. I was like, no, I haven't heard it yet.
No.
I'm listening to it tonight, and it's like to be disconnected from the live show has been killing me. And tonight's like the first time that I've been able to, listen live in a while. And I picked a doozy.
You did pick a doozy. Well, while you're here, let me ask you a few questions, if you don't mind, I got to burn these questions somehow. So, when you were getting Bash and Pop back together again, it's over 20 years between records. What do you attribute that long delay with? And then what brought you bringing Bash and Pop back again?
Well, I think, the inspiration really came from when I watched the documentary on the Replacements that featured no Replacements music in it, like absolutely zero Replacements music. And I said, I really got to get out there and make some new songs because clearly nobody's getting to hear them in this documentary. And that was a big inspiration for me.
Sure. Well, thanks for answering that question, Tommy. I don't want to say this is not Tommy Stinson on the line right now. He bailed, didn't show tonight, canceled as the show was going on. He canceled.
I think he's got a DJ gig with Steve Aoki that popped up last minute.
Look, God bless him. God bless him. I hope everything's fine. But you know what? Somebody could have. There's no way the 9:30 was the earliest that this was found out that he wasn't coming because he was supposed to be on the air at 9:30. He's supposed to be here at 9 to be on the air at 9:30. The earliest you can let me know is 9:30. He's not coming.
Do you get a text? Do you get a phone call?
I got an email.
An email. Because that's good too, because you're always checking your email when you're broadcasting live on the radio.
Exactly.
You got your email.
I'm sitting here reading my email. Well, actually I am, but he's actually I'm telling you, Mike, first of all, I'm through, Mike. This is what I want you to do. Get that pad. Remember an hour and a half ago I said there's a pad out there? Get that pad. The wings are here. This is what I want you to do, Mike. No joke. Get the pad and in black Sharpie, right across the top, the header on this pad, write S list. Right? S list. Now this is what I want you to do. Number one on the S list. Write everyone who is making Tom's life a nightmare from which he cannot awake, ; last night, Tom dreamt that he was in a car rolling down a hill with a car in front of him. Don't write this part. I had a dream last night. I was sitting at the top of a hill in a car, and the car in front of me started just rolling backwards, and I had to roll my car backwards so I wouldn't get it. Oh, real hard to figure out what that one is.
I love those dreams where you wake up immediately, like knowing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I
I don't know. It doesn't take a dream analysis expert to figure out what I'm processing.
Yeah, exactly. So, no. Yeah. Ooh, can I? Let's get to work on this. Maybe we can unpack this one and see what's really at work here in your psyche. No.
No,
I know what it is.
No.
I rolled back down the hill. Ain't got no job.
Crystal clear. It's 7:53 a.m.
Yeah, ain't got no job. Yeah, Tommy Stinson cancel on me 9:30. Reads out bash and flop. I don't care. I'm not gonna. I delete it off my hard drive. And look, I don't want to. No offense to you. Look, I see you on Twitter and the Instagram with your fancy. Oh, here's me with the Times Square T-shirt. Cause I got all.
You're right on my Instagram.
I got all my money because I'm working on the TV show Hudson Hawk or whatever the show is. You're working on.
It's the Amazon adaptation.
Was it Ford Fairlane? You're working on the Ford Fairlane or something, right?
Actually, Tom, now that you have some time, I actually have some time, we should talk about developing Ford Fairlane as a.
There's no way Crackle is not met on turning Ford Fairlane into a series. Right, with Chris D'Elia playing.
I really think that we could get a bidding war going between CISO, Crackle, and YouTube Red.
Yeah, bidding war.
YouTube Red, Chris D'Elia is the new Ford Fairlane.
Yeah. Here's the
war. And we can get Gilbert back in. Gilbert will reprise his role. Yeah.
By the way, I think next week my episode of Gilbert Gottfried, I was on. I think it's going to be up. I think it's next week.
Were you really?
It's one of the best things I was ever a part of. It was nuts.
I love that show.
It's so great.
Look,
something had to fill the place of the Fugle Nest Files with the show where somebody, you stopped talking to all these old fossils, and then he slid in and started talking to Larry Storch and, Howard Kalin.
Hour and a half with Howard Kalin from the Turtles.
Yeah.
I couldn't have been happier when that showed up in my thing. I was like, oh, good. For an hour and a half, I don't have to suffer. I don't have to be in a constant state of panic.
Yeah. Oh, here's the bidding war. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna check in live with the bidding war here between CISO and Crackle for the Ford Fairlane reboot with Chris D'Elia. Okay. Here's the thing. CISO has just bid $75. Crackle is at $80. Crackle's at 80, and CISO just said, what about 82.50? And Crackle just said, take it away, CISO.
Well, man, that's the biggest thing they've ever done. This is going to be big. It's food on the table.
You got it. Look, you're on the way up. I'm on the way down. And that's how it happens. Look, I get it. It's not a light switch that gets thrown. Show business is not a light switch that gets thrown and then one day you're on and then it's off. No, it's a gradual thing. It's subtle. And then you turn around one day writing, the things on an Animal Planet, dog bloopers. You know, I'm writing things. Oh, whoa, here comes the mailman. Oh no. You go from writing on an HBO show. One day you're on an HBO show, next day you're in dog bloopers.
Emily Nussbaum might take a liking to that, and that could be a career changer. You don't know.
Yeah, maybe get Matt Solar Zeitz to do an essay about it. A 70,000 thing for Vulture about 20 ways we can fix Animal Planet's dog bloopers. Here's how we'd fix Walking Dead. What are you going to fix? It's bigger than the Super Bowl. You're going to fix it.
Yeah.
Biggest show.
Do you know the number one rated late night talk show? Of all the late night talk shows, the number one rated late night talk show is Talking Dead. That is the biggest late night talk show.
It is?
Yeah, that's it. Bigger than Fallon, bigger than all of them.
Not Crashing, Talking Crashing.
You open the door. You open the door to Crashing. I was just going to say.
The only way I'd watch that, the only way I'd watch that show is if he played an airline pilot.
I was going to say, like, you know, hey, you know, things could turn around. There might be a spot on Crashing.
Yeah. There you go.
2016 year of the toilet, 2017 insult to injury.
That's how it goes down. One thing at a time. You turn around, next thing it's just like, who's walking who? I want to go for a walk. I'm taking you for a walk, human.
Well, I'm a proud Patreon subscriber, and I encourage everybody to do that, because this is, as I say to everyone who asks, I say this is my favorite thing in comedy, is the best show.
Oh, great. Got a thing, supercharge your resume on Twitter. Thank you for that, whoever tweeted me. It's either the funniest thing I've ever seen or the least funny thing I've ever seen. For me to
supercharge your resume.
Supercharge your resume and get the job you deserve. Hashtag Sharpling Stinson.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Because that's exactly how show business works.
Yeah.
I've gotten every job ever from LinkedIn.
Wow. Look, I'm going to be digging for that password now. LinkedIn password. Oh, no. I can't eat all this.
We've talked about this, though.
The Christmas turkey looks like Thanksgiving dinner is on the floor with me.
At least you go to bed every night knowing you're funny.
Oh, here's a good one, though. Enhanced resume and cover letter plus LinkedIn profile optimization equals increased ranking and get hired. This guy did right. We'll give this one guy credit. I've heard maybe 3 replacement songs ever, and I knew Tommy Stinson wasn't going to show up. That might be fair enough.
I did get the email today, and I was like, oh, wow, Tommy Stinson. And then I was just like, wonder how that's going to play out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, Jake Fogelnest, you have your hit show. Hudson Hawk is back. And everybody can't wait to see what Hudson Hawk has been up to right now. Who's on this show? Who is it now on this?
It doesn't matter. We got difficult people coming.
Who is it?
Later this year. Anthony
Anderson?
It's a show for comedy. It's a show for Comedy Central. We'll talk about it another time.
Who are you working with on this? Who is this?
They're great guys. Jake Weissman and Matt Ingebretson.
They sound great.
They're real funny.
Well, hopefully Matt Solar Zeitz writes a novella about all this. And I'm seriously, send me some. I want to see some of it. Send me some of it, please.
I will send it to you. Stuff.
Send me the first episode and the last episode.
I love you and I miss you a lot.
You're sweet. I love you too, buddy. I miss Jake Fogelnest. And you have a grand evening, and congratulations on all your success. Someone's got to get it. It's a finite, commodity. And if I can't have no one I would want to have it more than you. So
it might be a night for Mike to pull Pangea from the library. You know, cue up that Miles Davis record.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Well, maybe. Thanks, buddy. You're your sweetheart, and I'll talk to you soon.
I love you.
Still hung up on him while he was mid sentence. We do have rolling. So did the wings show up? Are you guys eating wings? Who had wings out there? How about you, Dudio? No way. They're greasy.
I better do it again, 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 do it again.
Best show.
Hey, Tom, this is Steven from Denver.
Denver's got a lot to answer for tonight after that last clod.
Yeah, he was a little rude, wasn't he?
Hey, he's weird. Weird dude. He's trying something. He tried, he failed. I know what that's like.
You knew that guy previously?
I don't know. What's your deal? You
My deal.
You sound fishy in your own right. I'm nervous about you too.
It might just be in the air here,
yeah.
Denver. No, I wanted to talk to you about a call you had a few times in the past couple of months. It happens to be okay.
What?
And I wanted to...
Your phone's talking out, dummy.
I don't want to mention names here. I don't want to mention names here.
Yeah, you can probably mention them because your phone's so terrible, I wouldn't be able to understand them.
Okay.
Get off my phone! Oh, take me away. Drink sangria in the park. Then later when it gets dark, we go home.
Just a perfect day. Feed the animals the atmosphere. Then later, movie to room and then home.
Go.
Just a perfect day. Problems all
left. He's playing one of those little box guitars, I think, is he? You sure love those, Lou Reed.
Just a perfect day. You made me forget myself. I
felt like someone else. Someone good. Take it, Luciano. Here we go. You sow your vicious. You hit me like he keeps doing Transformer. You hit me with a flower. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love.
Boom, boom, boom.
Satellite of... Lou Reed's like, satellite fall up to the stars.
I watched you for a little while. I like to watch things on TV.
Best show.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Oh, it's a perfect day.
Yeah, I listened to the first hour of the show and I had to step out for a bit, but was pretty disappointed.
What are you going to do? Look, I hope everything's all right. I hope everything's fine with them. But, you know, there's no way nobody could have, they couldn't have let me know earlier. They wasted my time. They wasted everybody's time.
Yeah. I was sort of looking forward to it because I used to work for Tommy. I toured with Guns N' Roses in 2012 and 2013. And I was actually part of the Appetite for Democracy, whatever the show. Yeah, it's
there was a lot of there was a lot of times where there was a lot of waiting around for things to be slightly disappointing.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Waste of my time. Waste of a lot of people's time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that, Tom. I'm sorry. It's a letdown. But I think it's made for an interesting show tonight. I've enjoyed what I've heard so far.
Yeah.
It's been
because you know why? Because I'm great. That's why. That's not up for discussion. I know that.
No, that is not.
I know I'm the best. That is not up for discussion. I can do it. I do it. I don't need no one to do it. I don't need this guy to come in and what's he gonna play? Is he gonna play back to back? From don't tell a song. Gotta hear that. No. I don't want to hear it. They asked us, can he come on? Can he come on? Can he come on, please? Cause they called five times a day. They were calling, one of our guys. Call, okay, let's do it. Fine. Let's do it. I didn't want it. This guy couldn't pay me. This guy paid me $30,000. I wouldn't let him in. Throw it right in his face.
Yeah. I was supposed to do this Bash and Pop tour with him, but,
I don't want to hear this either. This sounds like you have an agenda. Get off my phone. Maybe you don't, maybe you do. I don't know. I truly don't care either. Best show. Hello? Oh, hey, it's Tommy Stinson. Oh, hey, Tommy, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. I know time's a little tight, so let me get right to the questions. With your songwriting these days, how is that, how fast or slow do songs come for you these days? Is that an ongoing process? Something where they come faster and slower at different points in your life? What's that all about? Yeah. Very interesting. So, the Replacements tour, the reunion, that was a lot of fun, and that was it really fun? I mean, I know you're somebody who likes to look forward in a lot of the projects you work on and try to get different things to think about the future, but how about something where you went back and looked at the legacy of what you had done in the past? How did that feel? Ah, it's very interesting. Very interesting. And how about with Guns N' Roses? How did you end up in Guns N' Roses, Tommy? I've been meaning to ask you. How'd you end up in Guns N' Roses, Tommy? It's what I want to know. Tommy, tell me how you ended up in Guns N' Roses. I've been meaning to ask you, how'd you end up in Guns N' Roses? That's a funny anecdote. Any other funny stories you got about your time in Guns N' Roses? Uh-huh, sure. Okay. Yeah. And what did he do? Oh no. Oh no. I just gotta ask you though, Tommy. First of all, thanks for coming in. It's a real honor to have you here. It's real great. The old days, you look back. Would you do it all over again if you could? Would you do it the same way? What would you change? Yeah. This is very true. Yeah. Very true. A final question, and once again, thanks for coming in. It's been such an honor to have you come in. when you were in Guns N' Roses and the Appetite for Democracy 3D DVD came out, how did you feel when it won Best 3D Music Entertainment Feature at the 2015 International 3D and Advanced Imaging Society Awards? Great. That's a great way to end an interview. Thanks so much. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi. This is Claire O'Kane in Brooklyn.
Well, well, well. It's my friend Claire O'Kane, the comedian. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, besides disappointed?
Yeah, I'm not disappointed anymore. This is mine.
No?
Nah, I don't care.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good.
Yeah, how are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm just here on the streets of New York City.
Well, isn't that fancy? Where are we? Yes. In Brooklyn.
I'm in Brooklyn.
And you are just walking. What are you, just walking around and being cool?
Yeah, I would say I'm walking here, to be exact.
You have to you have to slap the front of a cab when you do it now, though.
Do you have to?
You do. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
I saw somebody do that the other day, and there was a huge argument that turned racial, and I don't want to be a part of that.
Well, that part is optional. The turning it racial part is optional. You can just, but you have to go, I'm walking here.
Can it be a Lyft?
You can bang a Lyft or an Uber.
Okay, good.
And you go. And you still say, I'm walking here. Yeah.
Still say the same thing.
So are you here? Are you living here now? Is that a thing?
Yes. I live in Bushwick. Beautiful Bushwick now.
That's nice. That's very nice.
I love it.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Wow.
You did it. You're here.
I did it.
You're here. The Big Apple.
Oof.
Did you, when you got off the bus?
Yeah, I took the bus.
With some little piece of hay in your mouth, right?
Uh-huh.
And a backwards baseball cap.
Yep.
I certainly hope no one came up to you and went, do you know where you are?
No, nobody did that.
And then you'd go, wait, where? I'm in New York City, right? And they'd go, you're not in New York City. Would you like to know where you are? Well, I thought this was New York City, so if it's not, no. I definitely want to know where I am. Would you like to tell me where you are? Yes, yes. Didn't I make that clear? You're in the jungle, baby. Okay, well, this is the jungle. I mean, but that should be okay, though. It's the jungle, right? No, there's something else. Maybe the worst part of this whole thing. What? And you're gonna die! What? That's the last part of it? You had to, you ended with, I'm gonna die? You couldn't just warn me that I'm gonna die first. This is my,
They had to build it up. They had to build it up.
Yeah. This is from my, stand-up special. It's, I'm doing a special for, Netflix now. It's my stand-up. Special, yeah.
Tom Sharpling's Chinese Democracy.
It would have like a terrible title like that. I think stand up specials have bad titles again. It seems like that's like they're running out of titles again, and they're all just like right.
I got a banana in my pocket, and I'm also Puerto Rican or whatever.
Yeah, or just like
The Banana Diaries.
And you're like, what could that be about, the Banana Diaries?
And then it's just a 30-second joke about one time they talked about a banana.
Yeah. You're like,
in their diary.
That's a long walk to get to where this whole thing was called the Banana Diaries. It sounds like you were just doing stand-up, and you tried to make it sound like it was a one-person show by putting 2 minutes at the front and end.
Yeah, it was a callback, a banana callback.
So Claire O'Kane at...
Yes.
Now, people think you'd say like at Claire O'Kane. It's like, no, at Baby's First Gun.
Correct.
Any regrets about that? Any?
No, there are hundreds of Claire O'Kanes. I think I'm the only one in America, though. But there are a lot of Australian Claire O'Kanes that really love to tweet. So
yeah. Well, then I agree with Baby's First Gun being your your Twitter handle. It definitely breaks you away from the pack with that.
Yeah.
What if you was just so. Like, what if you still had to be like the real Baby's First Gun? Like, then be like, oh no.
It's too long. Way too long.
So what's going on, Claire?
Not much. Just trying to get acquainted with this new city. Not disappointed yet. I'm usually disappointed on a nightly basis as a comedian.
A comedian? You're a comedian?
Oh, yeah. I'm a woman.
And I'll say obviously. This, the ladies are, I gotta really say it's, the ladies are funny too. And I know this is something that guys, don't want to hear. Guys, these ladies can bring it now in terms of the laughs. There are some very funny comedians out there that you should all check some of these comedians out. It sounds so weird, comedian.
Comedian.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like I'm a stewardess.
Yes.
For comedy. That's great.
Check out some of these because I'm telling you. It used to be a guy's game, but guys, seriously, these ladies can bring the laughs these days.
We're out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
And on the stage.
Well, no, that's what they talk about is the kitchen, though.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Yeah, but we take it to the stage. We save it for the stage.
Kitchen stories. It's just like.
I dropped my spatula.
Yeah. Oh, no. What? This isn't the right thing. I got to shred this cheese. This isn't the right cheese grater. Oh, no.
Yeah, just, you know, living that life. I would like to, I often think about the name of my comedy special if I, Lord Willing, if I ever get one.
Would you call it Lord Willing? You should call it Lord Willing.
Lord Willing?
Yeah.
I think that might alienate some people.
I think it could alienate some people and bring some people in that would be like, wait, that wasn't religious. They'd be like, I feel tricked. That wasn't a religious stand-up special.
I would have an elaborate set, so like they used to have in the premium blood days.
Sure. Giant.
Maybe two. They made a giant cross, a huge
pencil.
Glittery crucifix.
Like a huge pencil. That was the way those huge things were always like. I always love the way those things were just supposed to be like you're in the audience, you're like, what's this person going to be like? The stage has a giant pencil on it and a giant chalkboard and it's written like they're teaching the alphabet to kids. Is this person going to talk about being a teacher? This is going to be some kind of stand-up special. I can't wait to see what they do. There's a giant pencil and an apple and a chalkboard. I think your special still should be called Lord Willing. Claire O'Kane. Just picture you're scrolling through Netflix and it says, new to Netflix, Claire O'Kane, Lord Willing.
Oh, man. I can't even imagine. I cannot imagine.
Directed by? Lance Bangs. Lance would direct it, right?
Maybe I'd get Mick G.
Well, yeah, I'd wait for that
Mick
call.
G out of
hey, Lance. Good news, bad news, Lance. I do have the stand-up special. It is happening with Netflix. Bad news, I think I'm going to go with Mick G.
He's just hip. He gets it.
Yeah, he gets me, Lance. Well, Claire O'Kane at Baby's First Gun. I hope now that you're living here, you'll come by and hang out in studio very soon, and I will get to see you because you're super funny, and I want to hang out with you.
Yes, I hope it's better than the last time.
Yes, you mean election night?
Oh, you mean when you got in your car accident?
Yeah, and then an hour and a half later, I was in a car accident where, by all rights, I should have been at least mutilated.
God. But, I do think I cursed. I might have cursed you.
Nah, I don't think so. I'm still here, all though. Right. Just like Eddie Vedder said. Yeah, oh, I'm still alive. Yep. Remember when he said that?
Yeah.
And then then in my version, the deer would say, "Is there something wrong you said? I think there is. You're still alive." Like the deer would be like questioning that I'm still alive.
Uh-huh.
Like the deer was trying to get me. So, all right, Claire, well, I'm going to let you go.
Love willing, I'll see you soon.
I will see you very soon. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Best show.
Is this Tom?
It is.
Hi, Tom. This is Kevin from Austin.
Kevin from Austin. What's up, buddy?
Not too much. I haven't been listening to the show, but I heard you had like a disappointing situation with Tommy Simpson.
Well, insofar that he didn't show up, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? I hope everything's all right.
Well, I actually had a disappointing situation involving a musician, too, today.
Who's that?
So,
allegedly. First of all, I want to say allegedly. Before. I don't know who you are. I don't know what axes you have to grind.
No, I was disappointed myself. He didn't disappoint me.
Okay. What is it? What is? Tell me about this disappointing situation.
Okay, so I've actually called in before, and this was for Goner Fest a little while back, and that call involved some car troubles. And
oh, this is the young boy who I awarded the tickets to.
Yes, it says.
What's your name again, Junior? Kevin.
Kevin.
You're a nice guy. You're a very nice guy.
Thank you. Well, I had some more car issues today.
Oh no!
And it affected me by having me miss Jonathan Richmond.
You missed Jonathan Richmond live?
Yeah. I drove 3 hours to Houston, and the moment I showed up, I was about 2.5 hours late.
And then you missed the whole show?
Yeah, I got to the front of the bar, and the guy just went, yeah, it ended 5 minutes ago, so I'm in Houston now.
Oh, man.
By myself, having missed Jonathan Richmond.
And what's your car looking like?
It's like it didn't get into any damage, but it's mostly because I almost ran out of gas halfway through and had to look for a gas station with a dead phone, which is kind of the same thing as happened last time. And it caused me to, one, have to look for a gas station in the middle of nowhere, two, get back on the highway without a phone working, and then three, be in Houston, a city I've never been to before, without any working GPS, so I just had to guess where Jonathan mm-hmm. Richmond was, and I didn't do a good job.
So you were guessing where Jonathan Rich, I'd say that's where it shifted onto you, was that you were guessing where he would be.
Well, I knew the name of the club, and the name of the street didn't help because it was just Main Street. So anytime I asked anyone, they're just like, that's the broadest name possible for a street. So yeah. They didn't know.
Well, man, I'm sorry, Kevin. I wish I had better, I wish I had something I could give you.
Oh, no, I'm totally fine. I just wanted to call in because I heard, obviously, Tommy Simpson was a disappointment, so yeah. I wanted to talk about my situation, too.
Well, I'm glad, look, you're a nice guy. I'm glad you're out there. Be safe and get your car, looked into.
It's a bad car. It's going to just keep happening, but I'm fine.
Sounds like your car might be a part of the dirty verse. Bad car.
I would be honored to have my car be a part of the Dirty Verse.
Yeah. Dirty Grandpa drives a bad car. All right, Kevin. You get home safe, buddy.
Will do. Thanks, Bye. Tom.
Hmm. Best show.
Tom?
Yes.
We're on the air now?
We are.
Oh, hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Courtney. I live in Las Vegas.
Courtney in Las Vegas. What's up, Courtney?
Hey, Tom. Well, I just wanted to tell you that, I wanted to ask you, actually, who is Tommy Stinson?
Who is he?
Yeah, I don't know him.
Well, he was in the band The Replacements.
Yeah, well, he's nobody to me.
Yeah, well, I'm with you there, Courtney. Nobody to me no more. So what's going on in Las Vegas tonight?
Nothing over here. I'm just packing up dinner. But I thought I should just let you know that you don't need to worry about those flakes and, you know, all those famous nobodies because... Yeah. Have you seen your Patreon lately?
I have, yes. And it's very flattering. It's patreon.com/thebestshow because we don't do ads anymore. We just people give through the Patreon, and that's how they support the show, and I appreciate it immensely. And it's people have been very generous, and it's keeping...
That's what matters, I think. That's who needs you.
Yeah, well, look, I'm having a little rough time here. I don't have no job no more.
I understand. I got a pretty boring job myself. But
I don't have a job. Not that my job's boring. My job was exciting, but I don't have it anymore.
Yeah, but you've got a fun social job life now where you get to hang out with us.
Well, let me eat that. Like that. Let me eat that. Let me let me put some salt on my social life. Let me cut this. Oh, you want some of this? You want some of this social life here? Let me cut you off a big piece of that.
I feel you, but you know, your friends, your social life that listens to you and hangs out with you every Tuesday. We're trying to help you out.
Look, I'm not blaming. There's no way nobody being blamed here. I'm not blaming nobody.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it. Thank you, Courtney.
Yep.
Yeah. What am I going to do? Am I done, Mike? Am I washed up? Because it isn't a light switch. It just doesn't happen. You're not suddenly like, well, you're done now. No, what? Play the theme. What?
Play the theme.
What theme? Rocky theme. Rocky. I ain't playing that no more. Right. I'm done with that. I'm done with it. Nah, I'm done with it. Nah. Nah, I'm not. I'm done with it. Look. I'll say this. First of all, Mike bought the pizza tonight and the wings. Thank you, Mike. And Pat tipped. And Dudio tipped. So look at this. It's like a child's Christmas in Wales out there. I don't know what to do with the generosity going on. Mike finally cracked that wallet open and sprung for a pizza. No, I really do appreciate it. Thank you, guys. The wings, I'm being told, were on the plus side, were boneless. And on the negative side, the minus column, they were greasy. So apparently Mike and Pat ate some greasy wings. The wingman. Wingman, how would you rate those wings? How many, on a scale of 1 to 10 wings?
These were
7.5 wings from the wingman. The last ones were 6. Last time, I don't know if those were wings, technically. I think that was some sort of chemical spill. It smelled for a week in here. Well, one thing, if you want to support the wingman this Saturday, prove it all night with Pat Byrne. live at the WFMU Performance Space. It is a benefit show for WFMU's annual fundraiser. And guests include Vic Ruggiero, Nick Turner, Mo Fry-Pasek, Seth Herzog, Caroline Caroline Busa, and guest DJs and friends of the best show, Sunshine in the Rain. And where do you go to see this? You go to the WFMU Performance Space in Jersey City, Montgomery Street, and it's a $10 suggested donation. Money goes to WFMU. That is this Saturday at 9 p.m. Also, Dudio will be at the UCB Theater in Chelsea this Monday night with his troupe Bundt, B-U-N-D-T, as in the cake. That will be this Monday night. Did he leave? Okay. Monday night at 9:30, UCB Chelsea. Dudio doing his, is it sketch comedy? Very fun. It's very funny. He's very funny on stage. I'm telling you, I've seen Dudio has really blown me away by how funny he's been with some of the stuff I've seen him do lately. Very funny guy. And apmike.bandcamp.com, the classic. And he ain't going nowhere. You know that. You take that to the bank. That's money in the bank. apmike.bandcamp.com. And I said I'd give a pair of tickets out to somebody in the area who wants to go see Sweet Spirit on April 15th at the WFMU Performance Space. We debuted their song tonight, The Power, from their upcoming album, Saint Mojo. I believe the Bandcamp, you can pre-order the album at the label's 9milerecords.bandcamp.com. They are friends of the show who they're in two bands. One band is Sweet Spirit, one band is A Giant Dog, and they're awesome. Sabrina and Andrew or Andy, I don't know. I call him Andrew. I don't know him that well. Song's great. The album's great. And I said I'd give a pair of tickets out to the April 15th show at the WFMU Performance Space for anybody who tweeted something nice to me who's in the area. Whoever tweets now something nice that I can track here. I can't see who's from the area. You have to say, I'm from the area and I love you, Tom. I want to see Sweet Spirit. Hashtag Sharpling Stinson, although God knows why I'm still using that. Tommy Stinson was a no-show tonight. They said it was an emergency. Look, I hope nothing's wrong. Seriously, all kidding aside, I hope nothing's wrong. I sure wish somebody could have told me before I started the show. But you know what? That's how it works sometimes. That ain't the big concern for me. The big concern is the larger life stuff that I'm trying to, try not to bring to the table. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do, guys? What are you going to do? It's a sick, sad world. And then sometimes it gets better, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you turn around, you're writing dog bloopers on Animule Planet. That's just how it goes. And I try. I feel like tonight was I like tonight's show a lot. As weird as it was. I don't know how you feel about it listening. I'll stand by it. Anchor Baby, you win the tickets. I'm following you. Direct message me, and I will figure it out with you. I'm going to end the show in a minute. You know the way we end the best show. Right, Mike? Still like the show, Mike? You still want to be here every week? You sure you don't want out? What's that? Tonight was an instant classic. Like the old days. All right. It was a freewheeling classic like the old days, according to Mike. Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. And then later, it gets dark. We go home. Just a perfect day.
In after hours, really.
Oh, it's Paul Scheer. How are you, Paul? It's good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. I'm like, I didn't know you guys were still going after midnight, and I figured this is when the real people are listening.
This is not
like the normal fans.
Yeah,
this is the diehards.
It's for the freaks.
Yeah.
Right?
This is the
weirdos. You know. Look, we're not looking to get the people who are spending their nights at a Broadway show.
Hey, look, I'm going to tell you, that seems like a dig at me because I was at a Broadway show tonight. You know?
What?
I was at a Broadway show, you know, because I like culture and, you know, look, I don't want to get into, like, how I spend my free time. You know, I don't watch TV. I just watch Broadway shows, PBS. That's all I'm about.
Well, look, I appreciate someone going to a Broadway show, as long as you don't go see something that's like a thing with like an opera dude, what I mean.
Tom, look, Tom, I feel like this is really kind of just targeted right at me. Yes, I saw a Josh Groban vehicle tonight. Mm-hmm. Called The Great Comet of 1812. It's kind of like an opera, but Americanized about Russia.
No, it was... First of all, let me just say this.
Yes.
In the United States, we watch Broadway shows, but in Russia, Broadway show watches us.
That's actually... It's actually very true. Very true.
And I also do want to say to you, I also want to say this is the show that features... Is Josh Groban the one who sang that one where he's like... The one where he's like, but I just haven't met you yet. You know, the one who's like, you know...
No, I don't think he's that guy. No, he's the guy who is like a very good opera singer who then comedians bring out to do funny songs at, like, the Emmys and stuff.
Gotcha.
They're like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if you sang, like, the Jell-O theme song?
Blurred Lines. That dude. He's Blurred Lines, right? Blurred Lines. He's the one who's like, I want to get you. He's the one in the striped suit in Blurred Lines. Did he wear the striped suit in the Broadway show tonight?
The black and white striped suit? You know, did I tell you that I shot in the studio where Blurred Lines was shot, and the balloons that they used for that video were in the rafters, but Blurred Lines did not come out yet. So all I saw was like D-I-C-K up in the rafters. I was like, who would have gotten balloons that say that?
Yeah, Alan Thicke's son is the answer.
It was a real crappy place to shoot anything.
Yeah.
But to see those balloons dying up there in the rafters.
That is horrifying.
Beautiful day.
Well, look, I want to see, and all kidding aside, that's a show I do want to see before he ends his run on it, Josh Groban, which I guess it was in a couple months he's done. Is that?
Yes, I hear that he's on his way out, and then the guy from Hamilton is taking his spot.
Oh, yippee. The guy from Hamilton.
I got to say, I will say that he was pretty amazing. I went in there not being the biggest Groban fan. But, Tom, I'm going to tell you, if you get to go see this show, be warned, they seat you on the stage, or a lot of people get seated on the stage, and it's a very nerve-wracking position to be in because the characters in the play want to interact with you, mm-hmm. and I never know how to kind of play that because I kind of feel like my initial reaction is kind of like a slight smile, like, yeah, I'm into it. But then I have to feel like I have to, like, kind of jack up my reaction to kind of make them feel like we're all in it together. It gave me a lot of anxiety to feel like, am I giving these people enough as they're playing an accordion in my face?
That would be,
you know, and singing a song.
To me, that would be, that's the embodiment of hell right there. I've paid more than any other ticket in this entire thing. And I'm sitting in a seat where now I'm under the microscope at a Broadway show, and everyone's looking at me. Everybody's watching me watch the show now.
I don't like it, and they do things too. They do things too, where like they'll interact with you. Like, luckily, I wasn't a lady because ladies, the men are like sitting in their laps and whispering in their ears and making them do shots with them, and that is just it. It gave me anxiety every time it happened. My full body tensed. I almost got the sweats from the, please don't come over here, please don't come over here.
Yeah. Oh, no, that would be, for me, that would be like a, nope, can't do it, sorry, when they're like showing you your seat. You're like, oh, and you've got the seat on the stage. No, I don't. Like, nope, I don't. I have that seat over there is my seat. I don't care who has a ticket for this seat, but they're on the stage now.
Well, there was another thing about this, too, when they put you on the stage, and I didn't know I was going to be on the stage. I just, you know, I went to my seat, and the theater is very much in the round, and stuff is happening up top and on the bottom. There's stuff going on all over the place. But the other thing that kind of really freaked me out was when I sat down, they looked at me very seriously, and they said, hey, you can't leave this seat now until intermission. And that gave me another, not that I'm always leaving my seat, but the fact that I couldn't leave my seat created a tremendous amount of, like, well, what if?
You would never have left your seat. If you were sitting in a normal theater seat, you never would have gotten up and left. But
absolutely.
Now,
yes,
because someone told you, hey, just so you know, whatever you do, you cannot get up from this seat. Now you're just like, oh, no, what am I going to do? That's the funniest thing ever. You're stuck.
I really didn't like, it really, once you take away the option to leave, now I'm stuck. I'm on stage. I don't know what I'm expecting. I yawned once, and I'm having a great time. The show was fantastic. The performers were amazing. But I yawned just only because, you know, I came from L.A. I was up at 3:30 this morning, and I thought, I felt bad. It was a lot going on. Too much going on at the Great Comet.
What if you yawned and then you heard like that kind of like Married with Children, like, oh, as if like, like as if it was just this judgment that you were making.
The audience is watching me. Yeah.
As if you were making some huge statement about the quality of the show.
But I was wondering, like, do they ever get anyone up there just like, you know, putting their thumbs down like, nope.
Yeah.
You know, like, does anyone ever take advantage of that moment? I remember hearing a story that, like, Kevin Kline did a show at Central Park, and there's a guy in the front row who was shaking his leg, and Kevin Kline walked off the stage, grabbed the man's leg, and held it tightly, and then released it, and then went back up the stage.
That is, that would probably, so it was just, he was seeing it out of the corner of his eye the whole time, and it's just haunting him. Yeah. Now that would be.
So you had to leave the stage to physically reprimand somebody.
Well, that, to physically reprimand while still doing the show.
Yeah.
That would be.
We're all animals here. I mean, you know, look, I want to behave the best way I can, but then the audience was getting into it, like, you have to pass a letter to one of the characters. And the simple act of passing, this woman got up on stage and gave one of the main characters a letter, and the audience broke out in applause. This woman who just got out of her seat and walked up two steps, but it was an awe. It was a Married with Children kind of,
I wouldn't be able to. I'd say, excuse me, I know you said I can't get out of my seat here, but this whole thing is making me kind of uncomfortable. I am going to get out of my seat, but don't worry, I'm not coming back. I will not be coming back after intermission. I'm leaving for the night. Anyone wants this seat, that's between you and the production to sort out.
I will leave very quietly. I'm not going to make a scene. I'm enjoying everything that you all are doing. I just don't want to be a part of any of it. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Josh Groban, you're fantastic. I'm appreciating what you're doing here, but not for me. Sorry.
Yeah, that would be. Now, Paul Scheer, what's going on with you? What's going on? What's the hot word?
Oh, man. You know, look, it's just about babies. Living my life. Nothing. I got nothing, Tom. I feel like I'm never able to kind of call in when I'm on the West Coast, and I was very excited to come back to my hotel room and listen to you via my phone live. I always listen to you on the once it's already recorded, and then I can't call in. So I just wanted to call in and say hey.
Well, Paul, you know I love you, and I'm glad to hear from you. I hope I get to see you soon.
I do too.
Say hi to Josh Groban, and I look forward to seeing you soon, buddy.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Final call of the night. Final call. Final call. Best show.
Hi, it's Fred from Honolulu.
No, this is not Fred from Honolulu. I knew who
this is. I was told that's a prank, Tom. That was a prank.
No, this is Fraud from Los Angeles.
No, it's Andy Kindler.
Oh, it is. No.
I'm here to bring it home, Tom. Let me bring it home.
We're gonna punch it into the end zone. We're in the red zone right now, right?
Oh, it's like, man. Are you talking about with the old VU meters or the digital?
We're talking about with football. Obviously. We're talking about that old pigskin, right? We're gonna punch it in.
Hey, who is ready for the football? This is some of my old Hank Williams Jr. material.
You're old. Now, was this material pro Hank Williams Jr. or anti?
Yeah, I was like, come on, the guy has an opinion. So what? Like, what's the big deal?
What would you play? What about this, Bill? What about this if it was called It was called Mar Kindler, right?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
And it's you know, and Bill Maher every night.
Free speech. Free speech, baby.
And he goes, Andy, come on. Let's be honest.
Do you like his lip smacks?
I don't watch that. I haven't watched that guy in 5 years. God knows why you're still watching. God knows why you're still watching.
I had to watch it because Milo was.
I don't want to talk about it, Andy. I'm not. I can't. Please, I've had a hard enough.
We're going to do it. Oh, we're going. We're going there.
No, trust me. We're not. We're not going there. You can.
Oh yeah.
You can go there. You can go there. I've had a bad enough night and a bad enough. I was going to say, yeah, whatever. Stretch right now. I'm not going there. But you.
Did you like my Tommy Stenson joke? Very funny.
Yes, I did. You're right on it. And I knew I should have taken out a page out of your book. I should have had on Brett Midland or someone like that. Who? And to get one of your fellas on, right? John Densmore. Right?
Well, in other words, you don't want me to get up all up in your grill is what I'm getting from you, right? In your grill.
This is what we miss from you, and I think I speak for all the fans. We miss that lovable Andy Kindler. Before you were can't you smile more, Andy? What happened to your smile? You lost your smile. I want you to go find your smile, like City Slickers. What if it meant you literally went on some like ranch thing like that?
I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine. First of all, I could never say dude ranch under any circumstances. God, I am weak. I've got weak material tonight, Tom.
I want to say this. First of all, to whoever's out there in the CISO or any of these people, what happened to the Andy Kindler, All the World's a Stage? I thought we had something hot with that.
You've got me so pumped up with that. All the World's a Stage.
I'm telling you, I heard there were meetings being held about it. There were meetings being held about
Hydraulics, and they were like, no, it's got to be stationary. There's a lot of money involved.
For you to do the thing with the, yeah. But yes, look, it can be too simple. Expensive. It can be simple. We just roll the stage and then some chairs and some of those little club tables, those cheap club tables. Those are the smallest tables in the world, right? What is that? That's like bar. They're like weightlifting equipment turned sideways, right? Like how did they come up with that? Where they're just like, hey, what if we need four people to sit around this table? How big should the table be? I don't know, 8 inches in diameter.
That doesn't even fit the two drinks you have to pay for. It's four people.
Well, they can hold them in their lap, right? They can hold the drinks in their lap while they pay $28 each drink. But then when they go there, they get quality entertainment like Andy Kindler, right?
Hey, let me ask you a question. They could put a guy in the moon, but how come they can't make those tables not wobble? Who's with me on that, right? The tables are wa- I gotta put a sausage underneath one of the legs? No, wait, you said something tonight that you were gonna put under a leg.
Yeah, Tommy Stinson album.
A cutout.
Yeah, cutout.
Oh, callbacks. Callbacks.
Yeah, call it is. It's like it's being at the, you think I'm at the UCB theater right now.
Yeah. You wanna end with a big Harold?
It does feel like a Harold. It does feel like something where somebody would go, meh, meh, Tommy Stinson, and then walk in front of everybody, and then everybody would start clapping. My favorite.
What's that?
Right? Isn't that how it would end? But you know what? People should know that with you, it don't end neat.
Even when the show's over, you can still hear me performing.
There's just a point where someone goes, he's done doing the show for a, he's going to keep doing that.
Right.
what he's doing now, we're just going to take the mic from him now. You can keep following him and get more of it.
Right.
But he's just not going to do it on our stage with our microphone anymore, everyone.
But it keeps going, because that's my new podcast is 24/7. It's coming out. I just constantly have a tape recorder on all the time.
I think that would be, if there was an Andy Kindler 24/7, that would be, to me, a dream come true. Where if...
Well, the next season's coming out. It's called Spring.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's so hard.
What if, you know, when people, what if you like you said you're going to heaven and, you know, like you see the light, you know, they show you the light, right? And you're like, I see the light. And then it turns out they're just flashing the light at you to, like, wrap it up.
That's exactly what it would be. And you know what it seems to me today, Tom? The kids today, they don't even use it. When I started, they used a flashlight or a kerosene lamp to signal you to stop. Yeah.
Now they hold a phone
they
up.
They just use an app, a flashlight app.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they hold up a flashlight app. But seriously, let's get more in depth on the stand-up comedian experience, because if there's one thing America can't get enough of is the inner workings of one profession.
Inside, people love inside baseball.
But yeah, no, this is at this point, the stand-up comedian things, they're not inside baseball anymore.
That's right. Like, everybody knows. Yeah.
It's like it's so far past inside baseball. It's like, man, it's a show about a stand-up who's trying to, it's like, okay, look, I love comedy so much. I don't need the eighth show about the inner workings of, but then I was on the thing and I was middling and then I got, okay, all right. But then the check drop happened when I was in the middle of my, close. It's like, oh, no, but you people don't understand. I'm a truth teller. I'm up there. I'm telling truth and like, oh, I'm not a civilian up there doing, it's like,
so I do co-headlining jokes. You know what I mean.
I love it if it's a thing.
Prop material.
But that's why Andy Kindler's All the World's the Stage would be so different. Because it would be you just doing the show, just doing the comedy. Not about, there would be no black and white behind the scenes thing of just you back going like, oh boy, I'm getting ready to go out there. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm getting ready. It's like, and I'm not even putting that down, but we've seen it already. I don't. Oh, wait. Oh, so there's a stage. Oh, wait. So there's a back area behind the stage? Because I thought the performers all sat in their cars until they had to go on and somebody would come out and knock on their windshield and tell them to come on inside the club. Wait, there's a backstage where everybody goofs around?
Show within a show. Show within a show.
You got to understand, backstage is where the real show happens.
That's right.
That's where the
comics are funniest in the green room. They're the funniest in the green room.
Yeah, the green
room. That's where they're hilarious.
Yeah. Paul Prevenza green room show. Right? I agree. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Paul, oh, God. One of these days, we have to do an anger off. Me and you with an anger off.
You want to know what, Andy?
Yeah.
Let's do that. We'll set a time limit on it. It'll be a 15-minute... It'll be a 15-minute unbridled...
rage.
Just rage, where the two of us will just go at top speed, venting about everything, and then as soon as it's over, we can't do it anymore.
That's right. And to the point where the bitterness overwhelms the humor completely.
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be the starting point.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Let's give him a third show now. That's great. Okay.
Oh, we got tall people. Give the tall guy a show. Great.
Yeah, it's all great. Oh, it's a show. He's a bad comedian, though. Okay. That's a different look. Okay.
Yeah. He's a bad comedian.
That's an interesting angle on the whole thing. Oh, great. Okay, yeah.
He's eating pizza.
Yeah, it's a show. He's eating. And look.
We wish everybody the best.
We really do. I wish nothing but success for everyone out there. Everyone listening to this and everybody not listening to this. There's enough room in show business. I hope we all can have our own little piece of it and carve it out and make everyone smile and have a grand old time, because that's what we're all here. We're in the department store of life, guys. We're just living in the toy aisle. We're just living
hop
in the...
Hop in. The rejection is warm. I don't know. That was weak. Plenty of room. There's plenty of room at the inn. In my new show, Comedy Barn. Comedy Barn.
Andy Kindler's Comedy Barn.
Comedy Barn. Like, hee-haw meets hee-haw.
Well, I'm going to say this. If there was any way to do just straight up Andy Kindler's Hee-Haw, would be the funniest show imaginable. Just you behind the corn with the cornfield prop in the background. You're leaning across a bale of hay with a lady in a skimpy milkmaid outfit telling her a joke.
Thanks, Ellie Mae. Ellie Mae.
Yeah. If you're just talking about like the griddle and fixins and all the stuff, like you're just talking about down home cooking and all this stuff, right? Andy Kindler's dinner bell, and it's you ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, right? Like you ring that dinner bell.
Hey, let's go out to the comedy trough right now.
Yeah, let's go. Who's over at the comedy? Let's see who's at the comedy trough tonight. Oh, it's Chris D'Elia. We got Chris D'Elia is at the comedy trough tonight. What's up, Chris?
Strap on the feed bags. Chris D'Elia is over at the comedy trough tonight.
Who's over it? Let's go over to the comedy trough. See who we got right now here. Who is this over here? Oh, it's exciting. Tim Allen dropped in at the comedy trough tonight.
It's Henry Cho. It's Henry Cho. It's
Henry Cho. It's all of the comedians. What are they called again? The blue collar thing. Right?
Blue collar comedians.
Yeah. I love the idea of the blue collar comedians. Meanwhile, one's jet is bigger than the next, right? These guys all have private jets.
Oh, yeah. If you could pretend that you are a down home country boy, then you just might be a blue collar comedian.
If your jet, if they cancel all the flights out of Teterboro because you've decided at the last minute to go back and do some casino shows in Connecticut, you just might be a blue-collar comedian.
If you do 3.5 years of commercials for a buffet, you just might be Jeff Foxworthy.
Could you imagine eating the food at that place? Could you imagine?
No, he's not. I don't think he's on there. I'm worried. Did they replace him? I don't see him on there.
You know what? It's kind of a great thing they do is where you eat at that place and then you get heartburn and then you take the Larry the Cable Guy medicine that he sells.
That's right. You know what I say, Tom? You have to take Prilosec an hour before seeing Larry the Cable Guy.
But no, when you take with Larry the Cable Guy, they say take 2 Prilosec and put them in your ears. Before seeing Larry the Cable Guy. So, Andy, thank you so much for calling, buddy.
I love you.
I love you too.
Man.
I'll talk to you later. You have a grand evening. All right.
You too. Be cool, man. Bye-bye.
Be cool. I like that. Told me to be cool. I'll try to be cool. I try to be cool. You know? I try to be cool. It's hard to be cool. I don't care about being cool. I just care about doing the things I think I can do. Work. Make a living. Be funny. Get to do my thing. Get to write. Yeah. Not right now, though. Ain't got no job. Had it, don't have it. That's how it goes. But, you know, I do have this show, and I take this show very seriously.
I don't take this lightly. People are saying, but you got this show. I know. Don't think I don't. I think about this show all day, every day, this show. I think about it, and I work on it, and I want this show to be as great as possible. You know, and you get a chance to get a guest to come down, a big rock star. And you build the whole show around it, and it doesn't happen. It falls apart during the show. What do you do with that? Well, you know what? Sometimes you just gotta say, it didn't happen, okay? I hope everything's all right with the guy, but I got burned, and I got burned bad. There's no way nobody could have given me a call about this. You're supposed to be here at 9, I get the word at 9:30. Nah, unacceptable. I call that unacceptable. I am not willing to be pushed around anymore by some big shot can't give me the heads up to let me know you don't can't come down or won't come down. I don't care. I didn't want you here in the first place. Yeah, people were begging to come on the best show. Well, you know what? The door's closed. Forever. You couldn't pay me to get in here now. It's done. Because you know what? Guests aren't the best show. That's not the best show. People we don't know. The best show, you know what the best show is? The best show is me. And the best show is you. And the best show is John. And the best show is the guys out there working every week to make this possible. And they work to make this possible. And they put their time on the line. And I put my time on the line. John puts his time on the line. You put your time on the line to support the best show, and I know what the show is. It isn't guests like that, and it won't be. Nobody disrespects me. Nobody disrespects the best show. We keep going. We don't need ya. Best show, out!